12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. Some hard statistics out of Iraq. U.S. commanders say 7 American civilians and 2 U.S. soldiers are missing. That word comes as rebels kidnap foreigners to use as hostages. And NBC's Carl Rochelle in Baghdad says the latest round of violence is taking lives.
70 U.S. military personnel have been killed since April 1st. They're reporting that about 600 are dead in Fallujah. That is not a definite figure. It comes from within the city and from sources within the city.
And the 600, Carl, referring to Iraqis who have been killed. It's a shaky ceasefire in the Iraqi city of Fallujah. U.S. forces say they're ready to resume their offensive if rebels don't give up. How do you like to be the real estate agent who got the commission on this one? A house in London has sold for a record $128 million. The previous record was a $101 million home in Hong Kong. The London house features parking for 20 cars. I'm Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Mr. Goodwrench, who is this one and only GM expert? I'm about to find out.
GM Goodwrench, may I help you?
Yeah, hi. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Goodwrench had over 1 million hours of training last year?
That's right.
Well, there happens to be only 8,760 hours in a year, Missy.
Excuse me?
Throws a little wrench into this whole Mr. Goodwrench thing over there, doesn't it?
Huh?
You like that? Wrench? It's a play on Goodwrench. I just made that up.
Find Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert at over 7,000 GM dealers.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Lincoln & Mercury certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous inspection of up to 141 points. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile limited warranty coverage and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 37 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Fire destroyed a Denver business this morning. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Newest problem on the freeway system is a disabled car. Westbound I-70 at Lowell Boulevard. Denver police going in there to check that thing out. Everything else around town moving along in fairly good shape. Reminder of a lot of pedestrian traffic around Coors Field this afternoon for the baseball game. Police plan to close Blake Street between 20th and 22nd for about 5 or 6 hours to allow the pedestrian traffic to get in and out of there safely. Right now, Pep Boys Express brand name oil change is just $16.88. Choose Castrol, Pennzoil, Valvoline, Quaker State, or others. Job done in a half an hour or it's free. See the store for details. Pep Boys, parts service, and so much more. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Benson Communications went up in smoke this morning when firefighters arrived at the building at 17th and Williams. The building was fully involved. Denver Fire Lieutenant Phil Champagne said shortly after firefighters entered the building, they realized it was safer to extinguish the flames from the outside.
The floor became more and more spongy as the structural compromise and the fire continued. Fire was also found over their head in the attic. They sounded the evacuation tone, backed out of the building, put some multiversals into place, attacked the structure from the exterior.
No one was in the building at the time of the fire. No injuries reported in the blaze, which is still under investigation. It'll probably be several days before investigators have a cause for that fire. This report brought to you by Quest. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office has arrested the man they think was responsible for the shooting death of Lisa Clark at a trailer park near Golden on April 4th. Deputies received a tip early this morning that 40-year-old Everett Horton was at the Holiday Inn Express near Wadsworth and Hampton. When deputies arrived, they spotted a vehicle that matched the description they had, stopped that truck as it was leaving the parking lot, found Horton inside. Jefferson County Sheriff spokesman Jim Shire says Horton faces a number of charges.
Mr. Horton is going to be facing charges of manslaughter, second-degree assault, and menacing, and he will see a judge tomorrow morning for advisements of those charges and setting of a bond. That'll be at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Meanwhile, Shire says another occupant of the truck was Clark's 20-year-old cousin, Tanya Lober, who was found with methamphetamines in her possession. Shire says that she'll face a drug charge, and if it's determined she aided Horton's escape, she also could be charged with harboring a fugitive. It was a busy day at the Denver Rescue Mission yesterday, more than 700 Easter meals being served to both kids and adults. adults. Easter Bunny was on hand to hand out candy and baskets to the younger kids. Kids also got some vitamins. In sports, it's the Colorado Rockies home opener at 2:05 this afternoon. The Rocks take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. That'll be for the second time in a week. D-backs took 2 of 3 games in last week's series in Phoenix. Jason Jennings gets the start for the Rockies today, while Brandon Webb throws for Arizona. Colorado Avalanche are in Dallas tonight for the third game of their best-of-7 series against the Stars. Avs lead the series 2-0. Game 4 will be Wednesday night in Dallas as well. Denver Nuggets play host to the Sacramento Kings tonight in the next-to-last regular season game for the Nuggets. Denver's tied with the Utah Jazz for the 8th and final playoff spot in the West, with the Portland Trailblazers a game behind. Denver holds the tiebreaker against both Utah and Portland. For choice and flexibility, get Quest Choice home phone and long distance. More features and 5 cents a minute long distance make Quest the choice for Colorado. 888-273-9221 or Quest.com. Restrictions apply. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
No matter what happens, where it happens, or how it happens, get the information you need here first. First, AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live, and you know we shop every chance we get.
Yeah, but in your stiletto heels, you keep slowing me down. That's why we shop at Aspen Grove. You can park directly in front of your favorite stores and walk right in.
No more walking long distances back and forth from the stores carrying heavy shopping bags, something we've been known to do.
Or driving through the parking lot praying for a spot. Spend more time shopping at Aspen Grove in Littleton, a beautiful open-air shopping center with some of the best national specialty shops, many that are exclusive to Southeast Metro Denver, such as Gap Body and Coldwater Creek with its casual chic clothing.
Don't forget Pottery Barn and White House Black Market, the only one in Colorado.
And the great Aspen Grove restaurants. I love the buffalo at Ted's Montana Grill.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays, 10 to 9, and Sundays, 11 to 6. 303-794-0640. That's 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Isolated snow showers over southern and western suburbs this morning, but then mostly sunny by the afternoon. Our high, 49. Later on tonight, down to 33, clear skies. Tomorrow, temperatures rebound, 65 degrees, lots of sun. And Wednesday, lots of sun to start out, then just a few clouds with isolated thunderstorms and gusty winds for the afternoon. High of 69. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 37 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and we're going to be joined later in the broadcast by Craig Unger. He's written a very hot book called House of Bush, House of Saud. It's reviewed in today's New York Times. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. It raises a lot of questions. It shares a lot of hitherto unknown information about the relationship between the House of Bush and the House of Saud, so I think it would be very interesting to talk to him. And before we get going, and I also want to tell you, I was on Air America last night. I was a guest of Laura Flanders, and I'll tell you about all of that, and lots that's coming up as well. But before we get going, I want to check in with Todd, who is piloting the KNRC mobile and is right now at the Wingcoop Brewery on 18th and what? Wingcoop, like maybe about 19th and Wingcoop?
It's 18th and Wingcoop, 1634 Wingcoop, or 18th Street.
Okay.
And I'm standing out here watching everybody settle in for the home opener, giving away some coffee mugs and T-shirts and bumper stickers. And
what do those coffee mugs, T-shirts, and bumper stickers say, Todd?
They are the 11:50 a.m. KNRC, Hear Both Sides Talk, and then the bumper stickers say the same thing.
Okay.
And the coffee mugs feature our Drive Talking logo.
And have you been to the restrooms yet? Are there any Flesh Rush posters up there in the Johns?
I have not made my venture in there yet, but I will check it out before I talk to you next.
Check it out, because we've got posters in Johns all over Metro Denver. Flesh Rush, listen to Enid, noon to 3. All right, well, we'll be looking forward to another report, Todd. Thanks.
Right on, Enid. Thank you.
You're welcome. Imina Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Did anybody listen to AirAmericaRadio.com last night? I was a guest on the Laura Flanders show, and there were several of us, and it was sort of a roundtable as to what we were going to be talking about this week. And what I said I was going to be talking about, and by the way, mark April the 19th on your calendar, because I'm going to be helping to lead a discussion. That would be next Monday night at 7 o'clock, Tatter Cover Lodo. I'll be there if the tides are just right. It's free to the public, open to the public. One book, one Denver book, Peace Like a River, and I'll be leading a book discussion about it. And there was a little bit, there was an ad in Sunday's combined Rocky and Post that the Tatter Cover runs, so I'll be there. And also, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be in San Francisco, and filling in for me on Wednesday, T.R. Reed. I'll be with you today and tomorrow, and then T.R. Reed, who is the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief for the Washington Post and has had a really distinguished career with the Post. He's been the London Bureau Chief and the Tokyo Bureau Chief. And he's going to be filling in for me on Wednesday, and on Thursday, our own Billy Thorpe is going to be filling in for me Thursday and Friday. So just to let you know that that's going on. Anyway, here's what we talked about, or what I talked about. I said that what I was going to be doing this week was watching the stories come down. John Ashcroft, I think, is going to be testifying this week in front of the 9/11 Commission. I'm going to get myself a big vat of popcorn, and I'm going to pull up a chair really close to my radio and television set and watch these stories come down, because as they come down, more and more of the Bush facade is beginning to unravel. The other thing that I see happening, and I wonder if you were looking in the tea leaves, what you might say also, is that as more and more information is revealed, and the passivity of Dickey and his inner circle and their incompetence is revealed, the being asleep at the switch is revealed, what they're going to be doing more and more is pointing fingers, and they're pointing them at the FBI, and they're pointing them at the CIA. Now, never mind that the FBI was shut out of the president's daily briefing of August 6th, wherein the headline talked about bin Laden wanting to attack the U.S. On its own soil. 303-382-1150. So here's what I see as a plot twist. See what you think about this. That is the administration, the equivalent of the dog ate my homework, is, you know what, it was the FBI, it was the CIA, they didn't talk to each other, they didn't tell us anything, we didn't have anything specific. They had plenty specific. The only thing they didn't have was the date, the time, and the place. But they knew it was going to happen. And in the Clinton administration, when they had warning that something was going to happen, all the principals met, and that's the heads, call them the department heads. They met constantly trying to shake the trees for more information. And as a result, they averted an attack on LAX, the Los Angeles International Airport. What did Dickey do? Dickey continued to play golf and continued to be on vacation. And one of you emailed me that he's been on vacation more than anybody else. But as the finger pointing is going to go to the FBI, which was shut out of those briefings, the information never went to the FBI. Apparently, that's what's being reported today. And to the CIA. Don't you think those people, instead of taking the hit, are going to start leaking to reporters and start pointing the finger back to the administration? As the administration tries to blame them for their lapses, those people, I think, are going to start leaking worse than in the men. There are going to be more leaks than in the men's room at the Anaheim Stadium. 303-382-1150. And here is an administration that wants to take no responsibility. It says that you should take responsibility. You get up there and you take responsibility, but it's not going to take responsibility. And when Condoleezza Rice testified before the 9/11 Commission, I have never heard so much bureaucraties in my life. I really wanted to throw up. Strategy and policy. I mean, she turned in a very polished performance, don't get me wrong, but was completely behind a facade of bureaucraties that, again, she took no responsibility. Strategy, and we had to have a policy and a strategy and a strategy and a policy. Please, 33 meetings and not one of them dealt with terrorism? According to Dick Clark, 303-382-1150, these people have got to go. They don't know how to do the job. Even when they were given reports saying, guess what, wake up, there's a real problem here. We're going to give you a wake-up call in this headline of the President's Daily Briefing. Dickey played golf. Dickey was joshing with reporters at his golf club. He went fishing. He went clearing the brush. 303-382-1150. John in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Just learned about you a little while back.
Are you a first-time caller?
Yes.
Wait a minute. We have something for you. There you go. You get a kiss. You've been de-virginized.
Yeah. Well, I want to say that...
How did you find us, by the way, before we get going?
On the net.
Buzzflash. Okay.
I went to Buzzflash, and I saw they had you on there.
Okay. Thank you.
So, the Bushites, they don't accept responsibility. They hated Clinton so much that they didn't want to talk about nothing about Clinton terrorism. But anyway, I wanted to talk about the deficit. He's created this deficit, and he won't accept responsibility for that. You know, it's like all tax cuts for the rich all the time. And he hasn't, I mean, they don't have any plan for the Iraq war. And,
well, here, I was listening to interviews just a few minutes ago on CNN. And here's who they're blaming for the meltdown in Iraq right now. The Iraqi police, that they're not showing up, that they're failing to do their job, that there's no chain of command. I mean, please, we are the ones in there. We're the ones administering. But it's these lowly people who are going to get death threats if they do show up, and their families are going to be decimated if they do show up. It's their fault. It's always somebody else's fault.
Right.
Bush and Condoleezza say, well, it was the FBI and the CIA, and they weren't talking to each other. You know what? If you are a leader, then you get them to talk to each other, and you insist that information gets shared. And particularly if you're getting these warnings that are escalating, there is really peak chatter going on. I don't know why they didn't wake up and smell the coffee.
I know. In Bush's own words, in Woodward's book, he said that he didn't sense urgency about terrorism or something like that.
That's right.
You know, in his own words.
And don't get me started about Woodward. I thought that he would be interviewed on 60 Minutes and his new book. They say it's going to be making news. I guess I got it confused. It's next week, apparently. But Woodward must have gone through about 50 pairs of knee pads to do his last book on Dickey because it was so fawning. And probably that was the only way he was ever going to get access. So Woodward, to me, has turned himself into a big careerist.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I thank you for the call, John.
Can I make one more point?
Yeah, quickly.
Bush has not attended a single funeral for one of the soldiers who died in Iraq yet.
Yes, I know that. But I was interested to see that over Easter, for the first time, he visited some injured troops and those two little slutty daughters of his, those twins that are always getting into trouble for drinking too much. They went too, so wearing high heels and, you know, I don't know. All right, thanks, John. Call us again, 303-382-1150. Maybe that's too tough of his daughters, but boy, they have not. If it had been Chelsea Clinton, she'd have been such toast by the time the extreme right was finished with her. And these two daughters have gotten into a lot of trouble. Don in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, how you doing, Enid?
Doing well, Don.
I mean, about a year or so ago, me and you had this conversation, and I was telling you that I believe that George Bush and his cohorts conspired to have 9/11 to do exactly what they're doing today.
I still cannot buy that.
I know, and you say I'm being cynical, but I mean, consider this. August 6th, he gets a memo saying that Al-Qaeda and Bin Laden is, you know, they have Al-Qaeda cells operating in the United States. They're planning spectacular attacks in New York and so on and so forth. And then the next day, the president goes on vacation for a whole month.
Right. Well, you're attributing.
Month.
All right. Here's what you're attributing to him. You're attributing active malevolence to him, that he knew something was going to come down and he's just going to let it happen. I'm not attributing active malevolence to him. I'm attributing stupidity, complacency, the arrogance that we have never been attacked before, so it's not going to happen. So you know what? Screw this. I'm playing golf. And we still don't even know. He got the briefing, but the question is, did he ever actually read the briefing? It's under 500 words, and he could have made he could have flapped up quite a breeze there moving his lips while he was reading the thing.
I seen a picture in the paper of him reading the memo with a blonde, a lady standing above him, like pointing to the memo.
Well, he may have read it, but did he understand it? It would be another question.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, just consider this. You know, in the year 2000, when Clinton was going out and Bush was coming in, you know, this country was under a lot of financial scandals, Enron, all of these dot-com companies went out of business. The economy was already going into the toilet. And I believe that these people conspired to, you know, have 9/11 to bring them out of their economic situation and invade Iraq and control the world.
Oh, Don, I am not gonna. All right, we'll put it out there. We'll see if people agree with you, but I don't.
Hey,
I don't think
truth.
So. Huh?
It's the truth.
I thank you.
And the truth will set you free.
I thank you for the call, Don. 303-382-1150. Margie on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi there.
Hi, Margie.
You know, I don't think he could have prevented 9/11, but what I do think, he was so preoccupied with Iraq that that's where his mind was going, and his cohorts, and that's what they were concentrating on. And I think he had the agenda, and I think it'll be proven that he had the agenda.
Well, what is being reported, Margie, is that the 9/11 Commission, remember, it's a bipartisan commission, and what it's, what they're reporting now is that they're coming to the conclusion that 9/11 could have been prevented.
And I don't know that it could have been.
They have high security clearances. They have the highest clearances on that commission, so they've seen classified documents that you and I will never see.
Well, that's true.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with what you're saying, because what you're saying is
it's going to be his demise no matter what, because I think that he bundles the Iraq thing, and I believe, like a lot of people believe, that it was a war of choice and not of necessity, and I think that because of that, he's killed and killed innocent people, and we're never going to accept those. But those people don't want to be a democracy. They're never going to be a democracy, whether we're in there for 5 years or 5 months. Once we leave, it's never going to be the same without us there. And I think they have thousands of years of religious history that we can't combat.
I don't disagree with you, and I like the way you characterize it. It was a war of choice rather than of necessity. I absolutely agree with you, and I thank you.
I think that now we are so hated by every Middle Eastern country. And when is Michael Moore's book coming out on his father's relationship with the Saudis?
Well, why don't you listen today? Because we've got, I don't know when Michael Moore's book is coming out. He's got a book that's going to come out right before the election. But we've got Craig Unger in today, and he wrote the book House of Bush, House of Saud. So you better listen today, because you're going to find out about
that. John Dean wrote that book also.
John Dean has written a different kind of book. But listen today, Margie, because in the 2 o'clock hour, we'll have somebody who will explain it all to you.
And I have one more question.
Yeah, real quick.
What do you think about McCain as his running mate?
John Kerry's running mate?
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's delicious. I don't agree with McCain on issues like choice, but I like him, and I like the service to this country when he, you know, his service to this country cannot be questioned.
Well, Republican as a running mate, that's never happened, has it?
Not that I'm aware of, but he says I was at a conference in Washington, and he was being interviewed in Washington by Peter Jennings at our conference, and he says he's not going to do it. But we'll see whether he gets his arm twisted. I thank you for the call, Margie. 303-382-1150. I think that Bush was so blinkered by the old Cold War mentality, blinkered by Iraq, and blinkered by a certain incomprehension, incurious, incomprehension, incompetent, that, you know what, the daily briefing of August 6th, the possibility of being hit on our soil, just went right past him, faster than any golf ball he could have hit. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ah, nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Is your patio furniture up to the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio, inviting you to visit any of Lair's 3 beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality wrought iron patio furniture from O.W. Lee. For 3 generations, the Lee family has been handcrafting fine wrought iron furniture that is not only beautiful, but built to last a lifetime. Hand-forged by skilled craftsmen with incredible attention to detail and design, O.W. Lee is quite simply the finest wrought iron furniture on the market. market today. Family-owned and operated since 1954, Laird's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in wrought iron furniture. Plus, we have the best selection of quality gas barbecue grills in the state. At Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton, there's a Laird's near you. For premium wrought iron furniture from O.W. Lee, it's Laird Fireplace and Patio.
Leadership. Bring it into your life now. From the people who define leadership in America today, KNRC and the Tom Peters Company present the Leadership Challenge Workshop, Tuesday, May 18th, from 8 to 4 p.m. at the Denver Marriott Southeast. It's inspirational. It's interactive. It's proactive. Go online to denverleaders.com now to learn more and register. Special prizes and group rates are available. Log on to denverleaders.com or call 303-527-0607. That's 527-0607. The Leadership Challenge Workshop, a special one-day seminar sponsored by the Denver Business Journal, First National Bank of Colorado, EKSNH Accounting Firm, and presented by the Tom Peters Company and AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher at this hour, the Dow up 75, the NASDAQ up 10. The New York Times and Gannett companies both posted stronger than expected earnings today. The Times' first quarter profit actually fell 15%, but nonetheless, it still beat Wall Street estimates. Gannett showed a 10% hike in first quarter profits. DuPont will cut 3,500 employees to reduce costs by $900 million in the face of higher raw material prices. Another settlement puts Microsoft back in the news. The world's number one software company paying $440 million to Intertrust Technologies to settle a three-year-old patent infringement lawsuit. A federal judge is allowing a nationwide ban on dietary supplements containing ephedra to take effect. The once popular substance has been linked to 155 deaths and dozens more heart attacks and strokes. And the best part of waking up is getting more expensive. Folgers hiking coffee prices 4 to 6%. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
Being able to wake up every morning with Allison is kind of like having a sleepover with your best friend.
I love my husband. We have so much fun. We do everything together.
Imagine having the companionship of a best friend, the passion of true love, and a shared view of the most important things in life, all in one person. That kind of relationship would be something special, wouldn't it? Well, at eHarmony.com, these are exactly the kinds of relationships that result when couples are matched based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It is beyond joy to be able to come home to someone who really loves you.
Being seen and loved by that one person in the world with whom you are meant to be. At eHarmony.com, we don't think that's too much to ask for.
I cannot imagine life without Allison.
That's why if you're looking for your soulmate, check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your $40 personality profile free. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
We're in touch, so you be in touch. Call us with your news tips, traffic info, and when the weather's bad. 303-382-1150. Help out your neighbors by letting us know the situation in your area. We're the only locally owned Denver radio station, and we're concerned about Denver, the mountains, and the Front Range. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:27 on the Monday edition, of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And we're talking about what's going to happen this week and what do you predict? If you were looking in the tea leaves, what do you see going down this week insofar as more and more stories? You know, after Condoleezza Rice testified, and we said, oh, she was so polished, and she threw up this wall of nouns and verbs, and the word policy and strategy and policy, and we needed to get a policy before we could get a strategy, and then we couldn't act until we had a policy and a strategy. I mean, it was just horrible. And now it's really starting to come unglued, that polished performance, starting to reveal many cracks in the surface, starting to be the source of many questions being asked. Polls. We have polls, even after adding independent candidate Ralph Nader to the race, and this is the Newsweek poll. John Kerry enjoys a 4-point lead, 46% to 42%, with Nader drawing 4% of the vote. That's with Nader in the race drawing 4% of the vote. It looks like John Kerry leading Dickey even with Nader in. Meanwhile, just 36% of those, 36% of those polls say that they are satisfied with the way things are going in this country. More than half, 59%, say they are dissatisfied. And while President Bush's approval rating remains steady at 49%, where it has been since the end of January, the president's favorability ratings are lower than they have ever been. 48% of those polled view Bush favorably, down 4 points over the past month. Kerry's ratings remain unchanged at 51% favorable. Let me ask you something. Where is Kerry? He is missing in action. Is his strategy to just lay back and let you and him fight? I'll hold your coat, let you and him fight. Is that the strategy here? Why should he be stepping on the gas, or will that work against him if he does? 303-382-1150. Kerry is missing in action. Where is Kerry? Now we've got a CNN poll. After weeks of increasingly violent news from Iraq, presumptive Democratic nominee John Kerry now leads the president in a two-way trial heat by 7 points, 50% to 43%. This is the CNN poll. The one I just quoted you a minute ago was the Newsweek poll. This is and so here is Democratic unity since John Kerry virtually locked up the Democratic presidential nomination last month. He's been welcomed by cheering crowds, many bigger than expected, and volunteers signing up and opening their wallets with unprecedented generosity. Last month, Kerry raised $38 million. Which is bus fare compared to Dickey's, you know, $200 million or more, plus more than Al Gore raised for the entire campaign in the year 2000. So you've got that going on. The other thing is that they are looking for the single female voter. It's nearly this is what Salon is reporting. It's nearly time to announce the winner of the race to be the new soccer moms for the 2004 presidential election. That carefully carved out segment of the American population on whom pundits, pollsters, journalists, and candidates have decided victory hinges. It looks as though it's almost final after staving off fierce competition from NASCAR dads, that would be blue-collar men, Office Park dads, that would be upscale suburban men, and Walmart moms, working-class suburban women. 2004 is snazzy political demo of choice. Demographic of choice is going to be single women. If they think that single women are going to be an important factor in the election. Where are the single women? What do we know about them? Well, here's what we do know. When it comes to couples, it's the men who are more likely to be in favor of Dickey and the women who are more likely to vote Democratic. 303-382-1150. Joan calling from Fort Collins. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Joan.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been kind of wondering where Kerry is, too, and I'd really like to hear him come out and really pound Bush on not only the economy, but the chaos that's going on in Iraq. I think he really needs to step up and start screaming about it. And the 9/11 commission.
Will it hurt
as well.
Him? Will it hurt him? I mean, is he better? Is the strategy better? Don't forget, Kerry was a tree until Howard Dean was so passionate and inflamed
right.
Everything. He inflamed the race. He energized the race. He energized the populace. And then Kerry started to find his legs and become more passionate. But he really...
And the little that I've heard from him, I really admire how he has stood up to them and not backed down.
Yes, I like that. I like that also. I don't want to see him cave. I don't want to see him get Dixie chicked and then do a Dixie chick number and start apologizing.
Right.
But is it a better strategy for him to lay back, or should he be in there stepping on the gas a little bit? I kind of think so, too, but then I'm a scrappy kind of a person.
Well, I'm a soccer mom, so that's my viewpoint.
you like to sock W, I know.
Yeah, oh, God knows.
Well, all right. Let's put it out there, Joan, and I thank you for the call. Joan thinks, and I think, that Kerry is missing in action here, and he ought to be stepping up to the plate and taking the lemon and really running with it. In other words, the whole being greater than the sum of the parts, the whole thing is starting to unravel. And for him to lay back, Kerry seems then too passive. Let him get in there. And if there's that fine line to walk between being presidential and licking his chops at the unraveling of the Bush administration or the stories coming out, one after another, one official contradicting another, Ashcroft is going to have to testify. And now what they're doing, the administration is pointing the finger at Ashcroft. It has been theorized that the reason that nobody lost their job because of 9/11, Tenet didn't lose his job as head of the CIA, Because if he had lost his job, what would be the first thing he would do? If he got fired, think about this. Put your thinking caps on. If he lost his job, he'd be talking like crazy, wouldn't he? He'd be revealing secrets, wouldn't he? He might even write a book, wouldn't he? So by keeping Tenet close to them, they keep him from saying anything detrimental about the administration. But at the same time, they're asking him to walk a line where they want him also to be a punching bag. In other words, you want to have your job? Fine. We're going to make you a punching bag for our lapses. You can imagine that there are a lot of disgruntled CIA agents out there. Some of them have spoken publicly. The retired ones have spoken publicly. But if you were a bunch of CIA agents and you were getting an unfair blame, what would you do? Well, you think you might start leaking to the press? You might start leaking documents? You think you might start letting people know what really went on and how highly politicized the administration is? The other thing that I don't understand is this. As each story comes out and more damaging information is revealed about this administration, why aren't more people outraged? Those of you who are Bush supporters, those of you who like to drug yourself listening to that junkie at the Walmart across the way, how do you explain the behavior of this administration? And how do you explain the fact that people aren't outraged? Whoever you are, why aren't people more outraged? Are people becoming, is the American public too complacent? We're so complacent and arrogant and uncomprehending, or we think our vote doesn't matter, that we don't even bother to vote. The election is decided by, I think, less than 25% of us. Fewer than 25% of us, are fewer than a third, in one election anyway, one recent presidential election, even bothered to go to the polls. A very tiny minority of us actually decide the election. Why aren't more people outraged? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 37 degrees. An arrest has been made in a shooting at a trailer park a week ago. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Exit ramp from northbound I-25 to 20th Street backed up onto the highway per usual with an afternoon Rockies game. Also very heavy traffic inbound on 20th Street and inbound on Park Avenue West. Everybody trying to get to the game in time for the 2 o'clock first pitch. Everything moving along in good shape elsewhere around the system. Quiznos introduces more low-carb choices than anyone on the planet. Quiznos low-carb toasty flatbreads. The best taste, the most low-carb options, only at Quiznos Subs. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The Jeffco Sheriff's Office has arrested 40-year-old Everett Horton in connection with the shooting death of a woman at a trailer park near Golden on April 4th. Horton was arguing with someone else when he allegedly shot Lisa Clark. Horton faces charges of manslaughter, assault, and menacing. This report brought to you by the network of 17 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. A Denver business was destroyed by fire early this morning. Benson Communications caught fire sometime around 2 a.m. Fire investigators are combing through the burned building today, say it'll probably be a couple of days before they can determine the cause of that blaze. The Colorado Rockies are playing the Arizona Diamondbacks in the Rocks' home opener this afternoon. Rockies lost 2 of 3 to the D-backs last week in Arizona. Jason Jennings on the mound at Coors Field for the Rockies today. At John Elway Showrooms, you get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. No worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
AM 1150 cannot be held liable if our diverse talk programming forces you to use excessive brain power. Always entertaining and never boring. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Erman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours too.
Element has multifunctional
professional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home, the clean lines of Elements Furniture for Today's Urban Lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to start out with lots of clouds and some isolated snow showers over western and southern suburbs during the morning hours, but then mostly sunny by the afternoon, our high 49. Clear skies for tonight down to 33, and tomorrow we're going to see lots of sun, just a few clouds, 65. Mostly sunny to start Wednesday, then partly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms and gusty winds during the afternoon hours, and a high of 69. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
37 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. Can we talk about your beauty salon? Are you sick of paying high prices, dealing with snooty people, and searching endlessly for parking?
We can solve your problem. Try Salon Mercedes, conveniently located at I-25 and Orchard. You'll feel at home with the friendly staff. I know I do. Enjoy plenty of free parking, reasonable prices, and unlike many salons, Salon Mercedes is open Mondays. Call 303-741-0606 for an appointment.
They're highly trained, experienced staff always gives great service. Salon Mercedes is the only Denver salon designated elite by Creative Nails Design, the top nail care company in the country.
Hairstylists use the best color line from Europe. The salon carries Bumble and Bumble and Pureology hair products and the Yonka Paris skincare line.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 and Orchard, open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7, Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. Gift certificates available, 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN. Guess what? We've got them both. AM 1150, KNRC.
Leadership. Bring it into your life now. From the people who define leadership in America today, KNRC and the Tom Peters Company present the Leadership Challenge Workshop, Tuesday, May 18th, from 8 to 4 p.m. at the Denver Marriott Southeast. It's inspirational. It's interactive. It's proactive. Go online to denverleaders.com now to learn more and register. Special prizes and group rates are available. Log on to denverleaders.com or call 303-527-0607. That's 527-0607. The Leadership Challenge Workshop, a special one-day seminar sponsored by the Denver Business Journal, First National Bank of Colorado, EKSNH Accounting Firm, and presented by the Tom Peters Company and AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Mike Reagan. I'm glad to be part of the great talk show lineup and the Hear Both Sides concept. See you at 6 p.m. weeknights on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1242 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by the author of the book, House of Bush, House of Saud. The man is Craig Unger, and the book is on the New York Times bestseller list. It's number 8, and it was reviewed in today's daily New York Times. I think it was reviewed previously in the Sunday. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about George W. Bush. I was asked on Air America Sunday night what I'd be talking about this week, and I said I was going to get myself a big vat of popcorn and pull up close to my radio and television set and to my newspapers and watch more and more of the story begin to unfold and more of the administration unraveling. And I'm asking the question, is John Kerry missing in action? Why isn't there more outrage? And if you have never called a talk radio show before, let me persuade you to do it. 303-382-1150. The lines are just about full. There's one line open. Somebody grab it. I love to have new voices. I love to hear from new voices, hear from people who've never called before. We'll give you a cheesy kiss that will completely transform your life. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can imitate it. Something like that. But I know, you know, it's a little bit, you're a little bit nervous to do it. I would be certainly very nervous to call anybody else's show. But You can affect the dialogue. You can be heard here. It's virtually a free phone call. So 303-382-1150. Let's go to the phones and to Kim calling from Morrison. Hi, Kim. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
I'm well. Is this your first time calling?
Calling your show, yes.
Wait a minute. We have something.
Well, that just made my day.
Well, thank you. And you made ours. What's on your mind, Kim?
Well, to both of your points, my opinion on the first one regarding why isn't there more outrage, I think that if we look back through similar situations to the one we're in right now as far as foreign policy and military, we do go into a bit of a blind loyalty mode as a populace, I believe, whenever the military is in conflict. And I think that some of that is actually warranted and justified. And
do you think also that post-Watergate, it took a lot less for people to get outraged and into the event that became, the scandal that became Watergate? Is it that since Watergate, we have gotten so cynical about government that it takes more to rouse our anger and our outrage?
I'm not sure that I would agree with that. I think, again, going back to our current situation and maybe similar situations in the past, when the military is in conflict and we see statistics about losses of our own troops, we might be very uncomfortable and very dissatisfied with the fact that we've got people in harm's way, but we also understand that they're there. They're in a predicament that is now unfolding. It's not speculative. It's something that's happening in real time, and we have to a degree support them through a bit of blind loyalty. I mean, it's impossible.
Do we? Are you going to vote for Bush in the next election?
No, absolutely not.
Did you vote for him in the last one?
I did.
You did? But
yes.
What has... All right. Do you consider yourself, Kim, a Republican?
I would have to say no at this point, although it's pretty hard. Those are big, broad labels.
What turned you off of voting? You voted for him the first time. What was it that decided you against voting for him the second time?
The foreign policy. What we are doing as a nation with regard to the rest of the world, whether it be economic, with regard to Asia's nations in Asia, or the military solution, if you will, that we have seemingly jumped to in the Middle East, possibly will jump to in Southeast Asia again.
So you think then it's the foreign, the way he's handled the war. Do you think that we should have even been in Iraq to begin with?
Not the way we are. Obviously, there were things that needed to be addressed, not only in Iraq, possibly even in other countries to a much greater extent than Iraq, but to basically become the aggressor and become the invader at this point in time with world policy and the world situation what it is, in my perception, was a great mistake.
Has it made us less safe?
Yes, I think so.
I agree with you. Kim, I hope you call us again. Thanks very much for the call. 303-382-1150. Louise calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Louise.
You know what I would love to see Kerry do, and this is what he should be screaming about,
what?
Is where is our president? Why has he gone missing? Why isn't he answering questions?
Wait a minute. You know what he was doing over the weekend? He was fishing, and he was on a fishing show, and here is all this damaging information coming down. It was sort of like when he got his daily briefing on August the 6th. He goes and plays golf, and over the weekend, with everything that's going on, he's fishing.
Honest to God, I think I'm more concerned about what's going on in the world than he is. Really?
You know what? You would probably make a better president, Louise. Louise, I'm going to tell you something. I never thought that I had the wherewithal to be president. But now that the bar has been set so low, I think I would be a much better president than Dickie.
Absolutely. It gives everybody hope. But I'll tell you another thing. I think I would like to see Dean and Sharpton screaming out more. Because Sharpton, I do believe, has healed himself from all of his flaws. Because he's one of those people now when he talks, everybody listens.
Oh, he's hilarious. And he's really dead on. When he makes a comment, it was easy to write off Sharpton after the Tawana Brawley thing and everything else. But the more I heard him in the debates, the more he had really wonderful things to say. So you're right. Well, how come we're not hearing anything from Sharpton? Why aren't we hearing anything from Dean? And Kerry seems to be missing in action. What he should do is make that wry, you know, dead-on comment that sounds a little bit presidential, and that's all he needs to do, but he needs to do something, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, Louise, I thank you for the call. Now we have one line open, 303 312-1150. Ruth in Fort Collins. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Ruth.
I think what Kerry is doing right now is not playing into Bush's, I call it, it's a routine of passing the buck is what it is.
They're all passing the buck.
Yeah.
They're going to try and blame. They're going to try and lay it off onto the FBI and the CIA.
Right now,
yeah.
We have a Greeley station here, and I was listening to it a little bit this morning, and they are making a big brouhaha about some kind of a letter that was sent to Senator Kerry in May, and it warned him about, this is not by the FBI or CIA, but someone working in the airport warned him that the airport was unsafe, that there might be problems with Al-Qaeda. And evidently Kerry sent it up the line to the right department or something, but they're trying to do the same thing they have done ever since they've got elected. They blame everybody else but themselves. They blamed Clinton and his old administration.
Right.
And the thing that was the tip-off to me and made it very crystal clear was Cordes or Rice, because that's all she did was blame everybody else.
Here's the thing that Condoleezza Rice is really brilliant at, inventing herself and giving herself a terrific career and sucking up to the right people. But the substance of what she accomplished, her tenure at Stanford was very tumultuous.
Yeah.
And I don't see that she's accomplished very much to make us more secure. But she's
anything.
Great. She's great at
at pretending that they're very busy.
No, she's great at being a careerist, at getting herself jobs and a lot of publicity. Ruth, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Those of you who are listening to the Walmart across the way and to the hosts who are excreting the Republican talking points, tell me how they're trying to explain away. How are they going to explain away all of the damaging information, the memos and everything else that are coming down now? So how are they rationalizing it? So if anybody can let me know, I'd be delighted to hear it. 303-382-1150. Connie in Highlands Ranch. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Did you say Connie?
I did. Welcome, Connie.
Hi. I just think that the Republicans were so masterful after 9/11 at selling the war and the whole fear element that, I mean, I think that's why there's not as much outrage as there should be. I mean, I just think that every time Bush opened his mouth, that's all he was talking about was selling, you know,
I just want to murder the press. They fell on their knees. They became such stenographers to anything that the administration said. It'd be very hard, I think, if you're covering the White House, and I've said this before, if you're going to ask the tough question, they're going to shut you up because they're a tough and nasty White House with a long memory. They will shut you out. You won't be able to do your job, and you'll be transferred.
Right.
So reporters were very scared, but even reporters, commentators who had more experience, more latitude, more tenure, even they knuckled under. And I'm really depressed about that.
Right. And I'm afraid.
Also, the White House thought that it was invincible. So now they became, and when you think you're invincible for protracted periods of time, what happens is when it all comes down and starts to get unraveled, your arrogance gets in your way.
Yeah, and you know, like Ted Kennedy and Robert Byrd were the only two that I can remember that were screaming bloody murder right from day one. And, you know, I'm still wondering, like, where are the rest of these Democrats? And on the, you know, where do we...
Well, that's a good question. Where are they? They rolled over, too. I'm mad at them. They're among the nearly comatose is what I've been calling them.
And I don't believe that all of them bought the war, but I think that they sat on their hands and said nothing.
They were afraid.
They were afraid to look unpatriotic,
and they didn't stand up and say, you know what, I am so patriotic that I am supporting the troops by trying to keep them out of harm's way, because that's what I said, and I took a lot of heat. Connie, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Find out what happened while you were at work.
Who are you?
Tim McLaughlin. With news updates twice an hour during the Doug Kellett Show. Afternoons exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Today's daily deal is free membership for a week at participating Curves locations. Look for it on the weather page in today's Denver Post. Start your day with the daily deal.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. Datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. Datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. Datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
A woman charged her taxes in April, but didn't pay the bill until May. She used her credit card, buying herself some extra time to pay. You can do that now. All it took was a convenience fee and a toll-free call. It's fast, secure, and authorized by the IRS. And it's as easy as calling Official Payments Corporation at 1-800-2-PAY-TAX or visiting us online at officialpayments.com. Official Payments accepts Visa, American Express, and Discover payment cards.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Newborn Hope will host its annual luncheon and fashion show on Friday, May 14th to raise funds and support programs for the advancement of maternal, fetal, and neonatal health care. The event, hosted by Channel 4's Ed Green at the Marriott Denver Tech Center, features a children's fashion show with fathers and grandfathers participating. Meet the Lester family, whose two daughters, Hannah and Taylor, survived early and difficult births. For ticket information, contact 303-794-4483.
Hi, Jim Conder here, host of KNRC's Culture Buzz. Join me Thursday evening at 6 as I go deeper into movies with local film critics Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow. We'll have a fast, freewheeling discussion about the latest movies opening in the Denver area. You'll hear short reviews of the week's premieres, hear which films you should avoid and which films you don't want to miss. Plus, we'll fill you in about the latest film in Madstone Theater's new premiere pick series and tell you how you can win passes to see it. Visit knrcradio.com for more information.
I'm Diane. I have my home craft business. I think a lot of people would like to know what I'm thinking, which is sad, because Doug Kellett always hangs up on me when I pause for emphasis. 10 seconds is not an eternity, Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. The Wall Street Journal's got a big story about Colorado today and how it's in play. And here's the headline. Colorado races to shift map for Democrats. Republican senator's retirement. Remember Ben Nighthorse Campbell, acid reflux. What's the real story? May tip Senate control, reverberate key contests. And also, Joe just hands me this just in. No one is likely to leave the Supreme Court. Each spring, everybody talks about who's going to retire, but this year there's barely a peep. So this must be a horrible disappointment to Pat Robertson. Remember, he's been sitting there praying for somebody to drop dead on the Supreme Court, the people he doesn't agree with. Remember also that Pat Robertson announced to the universe that the Lord, he had a special briefing with the Lord who said that W is going to win big time. Well, maybe if they hijack all the e-voting machines. What do you think? 303-382-1150, George and Lafayette. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, George.
I think one possible explanation for Kerry's silence, and this was actually suggested by another talk show host earlier, is based on the political principle that when your opponent is digging himself into a hole, don't get in his way.
Give him a hand
now,
of a...
Whether this works or not, I'm not quite sure.
Hand him a shovel.
We'll see.
All right. Thank you, George.
No, but there's one other point.
Yes?
When it comes to... Bush's claim, Uncurious George, as we call him here,
yes,
the information that he got was not very specific. I am reminded of the story, I think it comes from New York, about two men standing on the subway platform. All of a sudden, one of them clears his throat and spits very conspicuously right on the platform. The other man is a little bit annoyed, points to a sign and says, can't you read that sign? It says, no spitting. And the second, and the man who has just been spitting looks at it, says, I'm not impressed. It doesn't say positively.
Thank you, George.
Okay.
303-382-1150 and Robert on a cell. Hi, Robert. You're live with Enid.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Are you a first-time caller, Robert?
Yes, I am.
Wait a minute. We have something for you. There you go.
All right.
We don't have much time, though. We're up against the end of the hour, so tell me what's on your mind.
Okay, perfect. Why Kerry isn't out speaking?
Yes, why isn't he?
If he can't handle, I'm an African-American male.
Uh-huh.
If he can't handle one African-American woman, how can he handle the country? You know, I voted for Bush, and I support Bush. I support our troops. And I disagree with everyone who supports their troops, but you can't support the man in charge of the troops. So that was my point.
I don't get it. You can't support the man in charge of the troops?
If you can't support the man in charge of the troops, how can you support the troops? How can you support
You support the troops by keeping him out of harm's way. Robert, you'll have to call us again so we can really wrestle with each other. And I thank you for calling. 303-382-1150. Two more hours of Enid right here on...
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez says American forces will capture or kill the radical Muslim cleric whose troops are leading a revolt in Iraq.
The situation down in the south, the area that was being terrorized by Muqtada al-Sadr over the course of the last few days is now stabilized. We are clearly in control of Al-Qut, which, as you know, had been controlled by his gang for some time.
Al-Sadr is wanted on murder charges. Sanchez says seven American civilians and two U.S. soldiers are now missing in Iraq. No word on the fate of three Japanese civilians whose captors were threatening to burn them alive. President Bush has to hold a news conference tomorrow night at the White House. Iraq expected to be the main topic. The president insists things are improving there. Even with the danger in Iraq, that country is opening its first new car showroom. Hyundai is offering cars for sale in Baghdad. 38 sold already. Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Mr. Goodwrench, who is this one and only GM expert? I'm about to find out.
GM Goodwrench, may I help you?
Yeah, hi. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Goodwrench had over 1 million hours of training last year?
That's right.
Well, there happens to be only 8,760 hours in a year, Missy.
Excuse me?
Throws a little wrench into this whole Mr. Goodwrench thing over there, doesn't it?
Huh?
You like that? Wrench? It's a play on Goodwrench. I just made that up.
Find Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert at over 7,000 GM dealers.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Lincoln & Mercury certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous inspection of up to 141 points. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 40 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The Jeffco Sheriff's Office has made an arrest in a manslaughter case. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check the roads with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Very, very heavy traffic now. All sides trying to head into Coors Field for the baseball game. We can see I-25 and 20th Street out the window, and traffic is very congested on that ramp. So is inbound 20th Street. So is inbound Park Avenue West. Elsewhere around town, things looking good. Parker Road and Dartmouth, though, watch for an injury accident. Also a minor one coming in at Yale and Monaco. Have you separated from military service and wish you had never left? Join the Air National Guard, work part-time, and earn retirement benefits. Call 1-800-TOGO-ANG. That's 1-800-TOGO-ANG. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office arrested 40-year-old Everett Horton early this morning after getting a tip that the manslaughter suspect was holed up at the Holiday Inn Express at Wandsworth and Hampton. Horton was wanted in connection with the shooting death of Lisa Clark, who was killed at a trailer park near Golden on April 4th. Police say Horton was arguing with someone else when Clark was shot. When deputies arrived at the hotel early this morning, they saw a truck matching the description of Horton's vehicle leaving the parking lot and stopped it. Along with Horton, deputies took Lisa Clark's 20-year-old cousin, Tanya Lober, into custody. She allegedly had methamphetamines in her possession. Jefferson County Sheriff's spokesman Jim Shires says the charges Lober faces may extend beyond drug possession.
We're also trying to determine at this point if she actually knew the whereabouts of Mr. Horton the entire weekend whenever the arrest warrant was put out. If that's the case, then we may be looking at accessory or harboring of someone that had a warrant out for their arrest.
Horton will be in court tomorrow to hear the charges against him. He faces manslaughter, assault, and menacing charges. This report brought to you by Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Fire investigators are spending the day sifting through a burned building that used to house Benson Communications. The building caught on fire about 2 o'clock this morning. Denver Fire Lieutenant Phil Champagne says the nature of this blaze will make it difficult to quickly determine its cause.
There was a quantity of fire load within the structure itself. It's kind of hampering our ability to investigate. It's going to take some time. We don't look for any determination or cause, at least for the next several days.
No one was in the building. There were no injuries reported in that fire. The city of Denver has spent about $6.5 million since 1995 to defend itself against numerous excessive force cases. Some of the money is going to outside law firms, and the large amount of money represents many large settlements. City Council trying to find out why so much money is leaving the Mile High City, and they're worried about the pending case of the Paul Childs family, who have already said they plan to sue the city for at least $5 million for his death. In sports, Colorado Rockies play the Arizona Diamondbacks in the Rocks' home opener this afternoon. Jason Jennings climbs the hill for the Rocks while the D-backs send out Brandon Webb. Game 3 of the best-of-7 series tonight for the Colorado Avalanche and Dallas Stars. Both tonight's and Wednesday night's games are in Dallas. Avs have beaten Dallas in the first two games of this first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Denver Nuggets play their next-to-last game of the regular season and the last home game tonight against the Sacramento Kings. Nuggets are tied with the Utah Jazz for the 8th and final playoff spot in the West. When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
The name and business is CNBC, and we've got it for you. Listen for hourly updates weekdays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, Mary, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence. I'm switching my internet access to ProLink.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't tell a golf ball from a disco ball.
Well, didn't you say ProLinks?
Yeah, but ProLinks isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLinks.
They're an ISP. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the big guys, but without the poor service and annoying advertisements.
Is their connection fast?
Sure. Their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access.
Well, that settles it. I'm switching to ProLinks. How do I get connected?
Call them at 303-972-3218 and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Mention this ad and get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free. That number again is 303-972-3218. You'll be glad you did.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included. Not available in all areas.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The sunshine, an awfully nice thing to see, but temperatures still a bit on the chilly side. We'll only top out around 48 for our high, and normally we'd be up around 60. Clear skies tonight with a low of 34. We'll do better on the temperature front tomorrow. Sunshine, a high of 62. A chance of thunderstorms on Wednesday, a high of 68. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
40 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From from AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live Baseball Day today. A lot of traffic was really crowded coming in. And by the way, Darren Gabbert is at the controls today, keeping us on the air. So we're in good hands. Boy, are you going to be watching baseball? Is that the story? Some of the streets in Lodo are being blocked off. But it's a lovely day. And one of the great pleasures of having a ballpark just a few blocks from the office is that you can ditch work and go and watch some baseball. I love that. And the other thing I love, even if I'm not in a position to be able to ditch work and watch baseball, is watching people ditch work and go to the game. I love just standing there watching people coming in from all different directions, all on their way to Coors Field. At Miami, there's a whole problem in that Spain's Prince Felipe is subject to search at Miami International Airport. He had to go through a routine security check, and he was there with his fiance, who is a TV anchor woman, and they stripped, they didn't strip search him, but he was very embarrassed, and I don't know, it's sort of a diplomatic flap. We have been talking about George W. Bush. We've been talking about the outrage. We've been talking about where is Kerry? Is he missing in action? And we'll get back to that in just a moment. 303-382-1150. But let's check in with Todd, who's at the Wine Coop Brewery. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
Fine. What's going on there?
Oh, the streets are crowded. I'm giving our good KNRC stuff away, and a lot of people are asking about you and watching them settle down.
Did you go check out the Johns and see if the flush rush? You have not? What have you been doing in the last hour?
I've been giving all my stuff away to your fans.
Wait, do I have any fans?
Oh, you got all kinds of fans.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, are any of them really cute? Just kidding.
Well,
just kidding, Todd.
Okay.
We'll talk when you get back.
All right.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Have
thank
a good
you.
Day.
All right. Bye. That's the Wine Coop Brewery. Todd giving. Manning our exuberantly painted KNRC mobile, which is, you have to see this thing. It's I don't know how to describe it exactly. It's a 60s military ambulance. It is really exuberantly painted, and he's giving away T-shirts and mugs, and so stop in the Wine Coop Brewery on your way to the game. 303-382-1150. Let's go to the phones and to Aaron in Denver. Hi, Aaron. You're live with Enid.
How you doing, Enid?
Doing well.
You know, I think Kerry that should just give it to them all at once this summer, because he's only got about a third of the money Bush has for this campaign. But anyway, why I was calling, I want to talk a little bit about Bush. I disagree with you, actually, and I'm amazed. I think Bush is ignorant, but I don't think he's dumb. I think he's a spoiled brat, but I don't think he doesn't know what he's doing.
I think he's incurious.
Incurious? Now, see, that's where I disagree with you.
That's what his biographers have said about him.
Well, what reason do you have to believe that he didn't know about 9/11 besides stupidity? I mean, what did he not benefit from? I want to know how much of that $87 billion went to companies that he was involved with. How much wartime profiteering was there? And how much of has Halliburton benefited from this?
Okay, so if your theory would be he's not dumb. What's your theory?
My theory is if you look back, and I don't have the whole story on this, but if you look back, Halliburton really wanted to build this pipeline through Afghanistan for years. And in the middle of setting up contracts, I guess somewhere towards the end of settling on this, this bombing happened in Kenya. And the Clinton administration put into effect some embargoes that would prevent them from putting this pipeline in place in Afghanistan. So what I think is they were just looking for a way to do this, and this was so convenient, and nobody looked twice. My girlfriend was out in New Jersey at the time, living out in New Jersey at the time, and she was happy Bush was in office. And this is a Democrat. This is someone who's very far left, was happy Bush was in office because at least he wouldn't, he wouldn't be indecisive about taking action. And I'm thinking, what action? You know,
does the father still feel the same way?
What's
given
that?
What's come down now?
Oh, now, You mean her father?
Yeah.
Well, he worked for the New York Atlantic Railroad. He helped pull bodies out of that wreckage, you know. And they didn't publicize that. About all you saw were the people jumping out the windows. But he said he hasn't seen that much carnage, not even in Vietnam. And, you know, so he was extremely affected by it. But, no, he doesn't trust Bush at all. And, you know, people have a hard time believing that leaders would do this. But it happens all over the world. It's always
so you think that it happened, that Bush was aware that terrorism was going to happen. This is worse. And he allowed it to occur because he could profit from it?
Absolutely.
That's what you think, Eric?
That's what I think.
See,
I think
now, I'm no friend of Dickies, but I have never gone that far. All right, let me put it out there.
A dollar that's come out of his pocket because of any of this.
Let me put it out there, and let's see how people respond. And I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. U.S. soldiers in Iraq are being asked to pray for Bush. They may be the ones facing danger on the battlefield, but U.S. soldiers in Iraq are being asked to pray for Dickey. Thousands of Marines have been given a pamphlet called A Christian's Duty, a mini prayer book which includes a tear-out section to be mailed to the White House, pledging the soldier who sends it in has been praying for Bush. I have been committed to pray for you, your family, your staff, and our troops during this time of uncertainty and tumult. May God's peace be your guide, says the pledge, according to a journalist embedded with coalition forces. Somebody just sent this to me, but it's an older story. The pamphlet was produced by a group called In Touch Ministries. It offers a daily prayer to be made for the U.S. president, who is a born-again Christian. So this is not a current story. This is about, as I look at the dateline, I thought it was current, but it was about, it was more than a year ago, that U.S. soldiers in Iraq were being asked to pray for Dickey. Well, God knows, he certainly needs their prayers now. And before we get any further, let me just remind you, in the 2 o'clock hour, and in the next hour, we're going to be joined by Craig Unger, and he has written the book called House of Bush, House of Saud. It is the secret relationship between the world's two most powerful dynasties. The book is on the New York Times bestseller list. I'm very eager to talk to him and hear what he has to say. Also, I want to let you know that I am going to be helping to lead a book discussion on Peace Like a River, and that's going to be at Tattered Cover, Lodo, next Monday night, a week from today, at 7 p.m. Public is invited. There's no charge for it. I hope I see you there. And filling in for me on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Wednesday, T.R. Reid, who is the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief for the Washington Post, he'll be filling in for me on Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday, our own Billy Thorpe will be in for me. So you're in for a treat. And I will see you again next Monday. I'm going to San Francisco. 303-382-1150. Let me read you a series of headlines as the lines are filling up. I think we have one or two lines available now. The rest are taken. 303-382-1150. If you've never called a radio talk show before, consider doing it. You can affect the dialogue. You will, at the very least, be heard. Bill Schneider, CNN. Here, let me just read you a bunch of headlines. Bill Schneider at CNN. Memo could be seriously damaging. This is the memo that the White House declassified on a Saturday night when they thought, the night before Easter, of course, when they thought everybody would be asleep at the wheel as they are. Memo could be seriously damaging. He says, I think it could be seriously damaging. What this says is the White House knew what bin Laden was capable of planning, where he intended to do it, which was New York or Washington, D.C., how he was going to do it. There was only one thing missing, which was exactly when he was going to do it, which was 9/11. I mean, when Condoleezza Rice, and she says it with a straight face, well, you know, there was nothing actionable. Well, only if you have comatose is there nothing actual. They say what they're going to do. They just don't say, you know what, mark it down on your memo, on your calendar, that it's going to be at such and such a time on 9/11 in New York City and in Washington. Mark that on your calendar. What you do if you're a leader, if I were the President of the United States and I got this kind of memo, spiking traffic, you know, coming to a crescendo here, I'd say, you know, I think I'm going to cut my vacation short. I'm going back to Washington, D.C. I'm going to assemble all my principals. I'm going to assemble the head of the FBI, the head of the CIA, all of the top security people, top military people, top aides, top everybody. And we are going to put our heads together on this. And we're going to take this seriously. Because on my watch, I don't want that fickle finger of fate pointing at me. That's what I would have done. had I been president. And you know what? You'd have been in better hands if I had been president. And I like these signs that say, we support our troops where the troops are located, you know, in these cheesy towns. These are usually signs put up by the pawnbrokers and everybody else who charge usurious rates to our troops, you know, like 100% interest. That's how they support the troops. They just look at them as pigeons. And so does the administration, I am so sorry to say. 303-382-1150. Tom, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I tend to agree with the caller that said that he thought that the Bushes just let this thing happen. And it just seems that...
Wait a minute. Are you a first-time caller, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Wait. First things first. Okay, so you believe that Bush was not incognizant, he wasn't in Curious George, he knew it was coming down, and he wanted it to come down. Why would he want it to come down? So that he'd have an excuse and cover to go into Iraq?
Well, I think that's a large part of it. The Republicans, his version of Republicans, had a plan in place to attack Iraq already that had been written up by Wolfowitz and a few others, and they really thought that they were going to do something there and remake the Middle East. The problem is they really don't understand the Middle East, and they just let it all happen. Here we have the Saudi Arabians attacked America, and so we attacked Afghanistan and Iraq. We still haven't done anything about the Wahhabi schools that are supported by the Bin Ladens and the House of Fraud. The Spain bombings, they even say that the Moroccans that did the Spain bombings also went to Wahhabi-financed schools in Morocco. And the Bush family is too closely linked to the House of Fraud and to the Bin Ladens.
Well, I hope you listen in the 2 o'clock hour because we're going to have Craig Unger, who has written a book on the House
of Fraud. I actually bought that book, and I haven't read it yet, but I bought that just last week. And
Tom, where did you hear about us?
You know, the fact of the matter, I was driving, I'm driving to court, actually, right now, and I wanted to hear something about Iraq, and so I was just going through the dial, and I found your station talking about Iraq, and that's what I wanted to hear about because it's really disturbing to me, the whole thing.
The whole thing is very disturbing to me, too. I'm delighted that you called. I hope you'll keep listening, and I hope you call us again. Thanks for doing it, Tom.
You bet. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. 303-382. That opens up one line, 303-382-1150. Judy on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Judy.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
I want to agree with the man that called also. I think it just all fell into place for him, and he profited from it. So
really, you believe that he wasn't incurious, that he knew what was going to come down,
yeah,
and he wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
And how would he have profited by it, do you think?
Oh,
George, how would George W. Bush have profited by?
Well, the war machine always works.
So you feel that he just let it, that he knew what was going down, and he let it happen?
Yes, and I also believe that they will produce Bin Laden before November.
I think so, too.
I believe he's already been found, and they've got him somewhere.
Either he's on ICE or they know exactly where he is, and they'll bring him in.
Yeah, they'll produce him before.
And they'll produce him 5 minutes before the election. He might be purple and green,
exactly,
from all the formaldehyde they've pumped into him to save him for that very that glorious moment.
Yeah, I think this man is evil.
But don't discount e-voting and how it can be.
I know.
The election can be stolen. They stole it once without it. They can steal it with it.
Right.
Thanks, Judy. I appreciate the call. But as much as I think Dickie is a dope, I really hate to come to the, I don't come to the conclusion yet that he just let 9/11 happen, that he knew it was going to happen and he let it happen. I know that the information looks like that could be the case, but I would hate to think that that was the case. I would really hate to think it. I get an email from Mike. Mike says, you've been saying on your program that little Dickie Clark voted for Bush for quite some time now. So he says, so as a person who always wants the truth, I hope you have the intestinal fortitude to admit to your listening audience you were wrong and that he voted for Al Gore. Well, it was originally reported that Dick Clark, who has written, by the way, the movies have bought his book and they're paying him a lot of money for it. So Dick Clark, who has exposed Condoleezza Rice and the administration, good for him. The book is on the bestseller list. He's going to walk away with a lot of change jingling around in his pockets. It was originally reported that he votes Republican and that he voted for Bush. In fact, he does vote Republican, but in the last election, he did vote for Gore. That was later reported. 303-382-1150. Bill in Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi,
Bill. Good afternoon. Are you a first-time caller?
I'm a first-time caller.
There you go.
That made my day.
How did you hear about the show?
I saw you written up in a newspaper column. Apparently, it was Penny Parker's column about a month ago.
Oh, right.
I've been listening to you since then.
Thank you very much.
Had to have some alternative to Rush.
Thank you. And by the way, anybody who's listening to Mr. OxyContin at the Walmart across the way, I want to hear what the Republican talking points are and how they are going to, how they're supporting the administration, how they're twisting the facts today. But go ahead, Bill.
Well, you raised the point of how can people face up to the fact of things and disregard them. Well, I think a good point came this morning when I tried to call another talk show about this president's memorandum. The point was being made by this other talk host, who will go unnamed so far, that...
you can name names.
Okay, it was Mike Rosen, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that there's nothing in that document except historical information, and there's nothing specific about it.
Oh, please.
Which is nonsense, because it quoted all this historical stuff, only to point out that since there was a lot of activity over the past 6 months, we need to look at the activity over the past 6 months. Something must have been going on. That was what was the important part of that document, not the historical part. The way that you avoid confronting that was the way Mike avoided confronting me. That he didn't want to have the answer to that. So his screen just would not put me through, even though I had a call 3 times, and he finally just hung up on me.
So they wouldn't even put, they don't want anybody. See, now I invite people to slug it out with me. I'm not the world's greatest debater, but I still invite them to do it. You still have a forum here. Well, I'm sorry, but you call here, Bill. We'll talk to you.
Okay.
I thank you very much.
Bye.
When Condoleezza Rice said this is historical information, she's hysterical calling it historical. This is, just the White House spin. Well, it was historical. They said they were going to attack us on our own soil. The only thing they neglected to say was that it's going to be on September the 11th in New York and in Washington. So if you get a memo saying we're going to attack you on your own soil and the intelligence chatter rises to a crescendo, you don't think you should take that seriously if you're the leader of the United States of America? I would take it seriously. I cut my vacation short so that nobody could ever point a finger at me and say, well, she went out and played golf. She got all this news and she went out and played golf. No, I would convene everybody just the way Bill Clinton couldn't keep his pants zipped up. But Bill Clinton ran a pretty good ship when it came to the economy, and he ran a very good ship when it came to keeping us from being attacked on our own soil on his watch. 303-382-1150. There's one line open. Grab it, somebody. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Across Denver and the Front Range, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Times are tight, and if you're retired, the cost of living adjustment doesn't seem to keep up. That's why AARP is sponsoring a program with the National Council on Aging to ensure that you aren't missing out on valuable benefits. If you're an older American living on a fixed income and you're having trouble paying your bills, here's good news. You may be eligible for savings on groceries, healthcare, and even energy bills. Call AARP and the National Council on Aging for your free and confidential benefit checkup. Call 303-318-6764 for more information.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado.
Join KNRC at the 2004 Taste of Vail, the Vail Valley's 14th annual food and wine Rite of Spring, April 7th through the 10th. Tickets are still available. Full event passes are priced at just $350, which includes all seminars, après-ski events, mountaintop picnics, and more. Individual event tickets are priced from $15 to $150. Order your tickets online at tasteofvail.com or call 970-926-5665. Sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. Kind of a quiet day to begin on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 65 points at the moment at 10,507, with the NASDAQ up about 10 points now at 2,062. We're looking for a lot of earnings out this week. That could bring some volatility later in the week. In the meantime, a federal judge is allowing a nationwide ban on dietary supplements containing ephedra. The supplement has been linked to 155 deaths. Manufacturers, though, insist it is safe. Meanwhile, the Nutrition Business Journal says that ephedra sales fell by about 60% in 2003. A senior citizens advocacy group is protesting Pfizer's plan to stop the flow of prescription drugs from Canada. The group is urging consumers to boycott the company's over-the-counter drugs. The Dow today is up 66 points, up 10 points on the NASDAQ right now, but again, we may expect volatility later in the week with all the earnings coming out. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
Being able to wake up every morning with Allison is kind of like having a sleepover with your best friend.
I love my husband. We have so much fun. We do everything together.
Imagine having the companionship of a best friend, the passion of true love, and a shared view of the most important things in life, all in one person. That kind of relationship would be something special, wouldn't it? Well, at eHarmony.com, these are exactly the kinds of relationships that result when couples are matched based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It is beyond joy to be able to come home to someone who really loves you.
Being seen and loved by that one person in the world with whom you are meant to be. At eHarmony.com, we don't think that's too much to ask for.
I cannot imagine life without Allison.
That's why if you're looking for your soulmate, check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your $40 personality profile free. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN. Guess what? We've got them both. AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150, KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
129 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by the author of the book, House of Bush, House of Saud, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. The author's name is Craig Unger. I'll be interested to talk to him. Also, over the weekend, Sony Pictures announced that it's going to buy Richard Clark's book for the screen. They have bought the rights to Against All Enemies, and they think it's going to make a crackling good movie, although lots of rights are bought and not so many pictures are made. We'll see what happens. Then you have Maureen Dowd's column, Our New No-Can-Do Nation, she says. She's talking about how Condoleezza Rice was in the dark. She said, W kept fishing and denouncing Saddam while Condi sat for a glam photo folk shoot and an interview. She says, hey, Condi, why don't you, you know, become, hey, the screeching chatter, Maureen Dowd writing in the New York Times. In the spring and summer of 2001, there will be attacks in the near future, is one line from the intelligence briefings. Did not yank George W. Bush and his team from their Iraq fixation. But they don't tell us when, Condi Rice protested. They don't tell us where. They don't tell us who. And they don't tell us how. And Maureen Dowd writes, paging Nancy Drew, 303-382-1150. One line is open. Scott, calling from Parker. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, hi, thank you.
You're welcome. Is this your first time calling?
It is.
Wait a minute.
Well, thank you. My life is whole.
And so is ours. Thank you, Scott.
Okay. I just wanted to point out, if they were to act upon the information in the memo, what were they going to do? How would they respond?
Well, let's say you're the president.
Okay.
And let's say you get a memo saying Bin Laden's going to attack on United States soil, and it isn't that it's just a memo that comes in. It's an increasing crescendo of intelligence chatter.
And you're getting
from foreign intelligence agencies information that leads everybody to believe that something is going to happen, whether it's abroad or whether it's on U.S. soil. And now you've got this intelligence memo, CIA briefing, says that it's going to happen. It could happen on U.S. soil. And you are the president. What would you do?
I am not sure, because, once again, where would the location be? I mean,
wait a minute. All right, then let me tell you what I would do if I were the president.
Okay.
All right, let's say they're going to come to you. I would cut my vacation short. I would do exactly what I've just said I would do. I would cut my vacation short. I would go back to Washington and convene with everybody, knowing that the CIA and FBI historically have not always shared information with each other. I would demand that cease this moment. I would be having meetings every day. I would do what the Clinton administration did. They had principal meetings because they had information that LAX was a target, and this was around the millennium at 2000.
Yeah.
And they had all kinds of information that we were going to be hit. And Bill Clinton convened meetings with all of his top people daily, and everybody went back and shook the trees. And furthermore, you'd put out notices. John Ashcroft was told not to fly commercial. There were no notices that I'm aware of put out to warn the public about flying. You would have everybody in a heightened state of alert. You'd have all your customs agents, your border people, anybody who was in any position to note, something awry going on. That's what you would do.
Yes, but how would a heightened sense of alert stop any, you know what I mean?
It did. It under the Clinton administration, it absolutely did. You had a very alert border guard. There were notices put out, and she got the guy who had a trunk full of explosives at the Canadian border.
Okay. Well, I don't understand how it would stop them from getting on an airplane.
Well, you don't know. Maybe they would have started looking. I mean, we now know after the fact that it was box cutters, but maybe what you could bring on an airplane, maybe they would tighten the restrictions. But I gave you an example, Scott, of how an attack on Los Angeles International Airport was averted because everybody was placed on high alert. In this case, you got these intelligence notices, and what did the president do? He played golf. That's what he did, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. John, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. John?
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm a first-time caller.
First-time caller? Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to say that about being outraged about what's going on with the administration. Well, first of all, I didn't vote for the Bush-Cheney ticket, and I'm not going to vote for him this time.
I think most people didn't, but he's our president.
Yeah. Well, about people being outraged over this thing, I can assure you that I have been outraged about a lot of things that I've seen happen during their administration, and but it's kind of like after they hijacked the election, which I really think that they did with some of their leaders in the Congress and the Senate and the lieutenant governor down there in Florida. After they hijacked an election, I mean, what is there? I mean, how outraged can you be?
You can't let yourself get beaten down. You got
to
do stuff.
Well, I know that's what's essentially happening.
It's easy. Then let me encourage you. Make a phone call to any candidacy that you believe in your area. Do some volunteer work. Write a check. Do something. It'll have meaning, however insignificant it turns out to be, or it may not. Do something, and you'll feel like you'll get your life back, if nothing else.
Yeah. Oh.
And
well,
it's a great antidote to cynicism and passivity.
Yeah, I know. But I agree with a lot of what you're saying here. There's a lot of things to be outraged about, and I'm surprised that There isn't more talk about an impeachment or something.
How's it going to happen when the Republicans are controlling everything? There's not going to be an impeachment.
Well, exactly. You can't get the vote. So, we're stuck with it.
But there's a movement afoot by, I think, moveon.org to get him to resign, to go protest and go to Washington and call for the resignation of Dickey, just like Nixon resigned. So let's see where that goes. Probably nowhere. But, John, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150 from Eric, two emails. Actually, Dick Clark stated that he voted for John McCain in the 2000 primary against Bush. So let's clarify that. And Eric says, I'm not aware of any evidence that box cutters were used. Actually, I've heard several different versions. One version says that the hijackers used box cutters, and others said that they did not. So I don't know what the story is. 303-382-1150, AJ on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, AJ.
The problem with your solution is that it is typical, I think, of the mindset of the left is that you want to have meetings. The problem with meetings...
No, that's what the Republicans... Wait. Here's what Condoleezza Rice was saying. All they did was have meetings, and they didn't get anything done. But look...
was nothing actionable...
But wait a minute. This is what the Bush administration did. It had meetings of principals, according to Dick Clark, and they shook the trees, and they averted a number of terrorist incidents that were scheduled to happen around the year 2000, the millennium. So they were successful.
That's not true.
No, you're wrong about that. They were successful.
If you listen to the testimony from last week, and one of the Democrats on the committee agreed with this, The reason that the 2000 attack on the Millennium was thwarted was an act of chance. It was one person.
No, it was not simply. No. It was not simply. Just so you know the context. It was not simply an act of chance. Let me set the record straight for you, AJ. The administration had gone back to try and put everybody on high alert. They'd put border people on high alert. So here was somebody who was smart, you're right, you know, right, but this is somebody who was on high alert. And this administration, I'm afraid, did not do the same thing, did it?
70 investigations going, but the field offices didn't know about them.
Yeah, well, if you are a good leader, don't you insist that when you're getting this increased intelligence chatter, that your CIA and your FBI talk to each other? Colleen Rowling ought to be the, I think that's her name, Colleen or Colette Rowling, I forget. She ought to be the head of the FBI because she's the one who noticed that the FBI wasn't doing its job in Minnesota when it came to, I think, Zachariah Moussaoui.
Yeah, you know what, Enid, the group that's getting off, and this has nothing to do with Democrats or Republicans, the group that got off clean in this whole thing that really is culpable is the Church Commission, which made it illegal for the FBI and the CIA to talk. You cannot share domestic intelligence with the Foreign Intelligence Service, and the Foreign Intelligence Service couldn't give Zacharias Moussaoui's name to the FBI. Of course they couldn't talk because it was illegal. I'm going to hang up at this point and let you talk.
Well, okay, but I'm looking for a stronger argument from you next time, AJ. 303-382-1150. That's one line open, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 40 degrees now. Fire destroyed a Denver business early this morning. We'll check that story in a moment, but first, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
It continues to be a real tough drive if you're trying to get around lower downtown. Lots of folks trying to head into Coors Field for the big baseball game this afternoon. So just count on some delays all around lower downtown for probably the next half an hour or so. Southbound Peoria at I-70, the latest accident. No injuries involved, thankfully. A little bit of minor slowing in there. Everything else around town moving along in good shape. Monday is Cheap Chicken Day at Albertsons. 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh fried chicken, only $3.99. Cheap Chicken Day, Mondays at Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Investigators are trying to determine what caused a pre-dawn fire that destroyed the building housing Benson Communications at 17th and Williams today. Firefighters were able to keep the blaze from spreading to a pair of adjacent buildings. This report brought to you by GM Goodwrench. The Aurora City Council will decide tonight on summer watering restrictions. Sometime this month, Aurora's reservoir system is expected to reach a low of 40% before it starts to fill gradually with runoff from melting snow. The Denver Water Board will be meeting on Wednesday to discuss watering restrictions. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office has arrested 40-year-old Everett Horton, who's wanted in connection with the shooting death of a woman at a trailer park near Golden a week ago. Investigators say Horton shot Lisa Clark while he was arguing with someone else. He faces manslaughter, assault, and menacing charges. April is Car Care Month. Mr. Goodwrench reminds you of the importance in keeping your GM vehicle in top condition. Visit GMGoodwrench.com to find a dealer near you. Mr. Goodwrench, the one and only GM expert. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, knrcradio.com. knrcradio.com. And then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
This May, Aleve invites you to join us in the fight against arthritis, the country's number one cause of disability. That's when Aleve will partner with the Arthritis Foundation to sponsor the annual Arthritis Walk. When you join the walk, you'll help Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation in the fight to prevent, control, and cure this painful disease that affects one in every three Americans. For more information on the Arthritis Walk and Aleve's all-day arthritis pain relief, go to Aleve.com and join the team to fight arthritis. Aleve. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
My neighbors stopped by my house this afternoon and asked if I had any basil.
Unbelievable. I've been trying to find a house and a mortgage,
and she thinks I can drop everything to concentrate on dried leaves.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage makes buying a home less stressful, and our family of companies can also handle your mortgage with a competitive rate and quick decision. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Temperatures are still well below normal, but we're going to see a very nice recovery come tomorrow and Wednesday. With sunshine through the afternoon, we'll top out around 48 for the high. Clear skies tonight, dropping to 34 for the low. Sunny and 62 on Tuesday, a chance of thunderstorms and 68 on Wednesday. From the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 40 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
The Lamont Opera Theater Program of the University of Denver presents Mozart's Marriage of Figaro, April 15th through 18th. The Marriage of Figaro is sung in Italian with super titles in English. Lamont Opera Theater's Marriage of Figaro will be produced in the glorious June Swainer Gates Concert Hall on the southwest corner of East Islip and South University Boulevard. Plenty of parking is free with a ticket in the parking garage just south of the building. Tickets range from $8 to $25 with performances Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 in the evening with a 2:30 matinee on August 18th. Don't miss Mozart's most beloved opera, The Marriage of Figaro, April 15th through 18th in the Gates Concert Hall on the DU campus. Your tickets can be reserved by calling the Lamont box office at 303-871-7720, go to Ticketmaster at 303-830-TIXS, or online at Ticketmaster.com. Mozart's Marriage of Figaro and DU's Lamont Opera Theater Program.
AM 1150 KNRC and Desi Cortez live. Sunday mornings at 10, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Win lodging and passes to the Taste of Vail from KNRC. The Taste of Vail is a dream escape for food and wine connoisseurs and features incredible foods, wines, and activities in one of the world's most picturesque settings. Register by 9 p.m. April 5th at the Raff Gallery at Aspen Grove. Win two nights lodging and passes to the Taste of Vail. Register at Raff Gallery at Aspen Grove by 9 p.m. Monday, April 5th. Winner to be announced Tuesday, April 6th.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:44 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock in the next hour. Craig Unger, who's written the book House of Bush, House of Saud, is going to join us. The secret relationship between the world's two most powerful dynasties. Let's hear what he has to say. Eric just emails me this. AJ just said it was illegal for the CIA and FBI to talk, a church commission in the 70s, and why did George Tenet say to David Boren, I wonder if it had anything to do with that guy in Arizona learning to fly that the FBI rally was investigating. I don't know. This also comes to my attention, and this is from the UK paper, The Telegraph. America's, in line with the Bush administration, absolute commitment to you stepping up to the plate to accept responsibility. But for them to say that the dog ate their homework, America's top commander in Iraq has warned Washington that he will not be the fall guy if violence in the country worsens. This is General John Abizaid. He's not going to be the fall guy, so it's not going to be his responsibility either. Also, the Wall Street Journal reporting this, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says, expectations have been tempered, and this is in Ray, a column about how Colorado races to shift the map for Democrats. Colorado is definitely a state in play, and aren't we lucky that I'm here to help push it onto the right side of things. Now Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says expectations have been tempered, and he predicts Republicans could pick up just one seat. Some top Democrats privately concur and say their chances of reclaiming the Senate stand at about 50% compared with only about 25% last fall. So there is really a chance. You got to get out there and work it, everybody. Get out there, volunteer, write a check, do whatever it takes, but your life will have more meaning, you won't feel powerless, and you could really make a difference. Also, lest we be accused of ignoring what's going on here, $6.5 million has been paid out for cop suits, the bulk of the fees paid to outside attorneys in excessive force cases. Denver has spent more than $6.5 million since 1995 on outside law firms to defend excessive force cases against police. And I don't think this even begins to include the settlements. And you are going to see I think some big money going to go out the door when it comes to the Paul Childs shooting. Johnny Cochran is representing that family. And once again, I think James Turney ought to be fired. He has no place on the Denver Police Force. 303-382-1150. The lines are full. They will open up. Let's head over to Fort Collins. Lisa, hi. You're live with Enid.
Hi. Yeah.
Lisa, are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
There you go. Welcome.
Thank you for that. I am astounded that people keep asking the question, if the Bush administration actually knew that we were under threat from bin Laden, what could we have done? What could they have done? Anyway, I can think of 100 things that I would have done.
What would you do?
If I were the president.
Yeah.
But the very least that I would have done is alert the FAA, get the airlines involved, and, I mean, I would think they would have appreciated that. And at that point, things start looking a little suspicious. I mean, maybe people would have noticed the group of men getting on the plane that day as something suspicious, paying cash for their ticket. So there might have been some red flag that would have gone up.
There you go. I would have done that, too. That's good. You'd have put border people on higher alert. An alert would have gone out to airline personnel.
Specifically airlines. Specifically the FAA, it was specifically about jumbo jets.
Right. Now, don't you think, here's where the administration shines, to take this document, which the August 6th PDB, which is entitled something along the lines of bin Laden gonna attack within the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and then how they're spinning it. They're spinning it, well, it was an historical document. Can you believe that? It was like a history lesson, a history book. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm astonished. Lisa,
even further with the warning. So maybe they did. Maybe they thought they would create some kind of a panic. But there would be a way to let our citizenship of this great nation know that we were under threat. Citizens may understand that things would look suspicious to them on an airplane.
Well, I think that would have been a very good plan as well. How did you find our radio station, by the way?
Actually, I was surfing, and I was thrilled to come upon your radio show.
Well, I hope you tell your friends.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling, and I hope you call us again.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. 303-382-1150. That opens up one line. Van calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. How's it going?
Going well.
That Rowley agent out of Minneapolis was remanded for sharing that information with the CIA until Tennant got a hold of it.
I don't know. I don't know that I recall that.
Because she couldn't get the FBI folks.
The FBI people would ignored her repeatedly. And I think
ran them.
Huh?
She end ran them. And she actually got a little bit of trouble for it. I mean, it never went up the line, but that's how Tennant got a hold of the did get into the CIA, but it never went up the chain of command in the FBI.
It did go up the chain of command, and she got turned down twice. It did go up the chain. No, no.
She search warrant to search his computer.
Yes. She went up the chain of command, and twice the FBI denied going in there and searching it. 303-382-1150. Tony, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I haven't called in for a while. I wanted to tell you, I've been searching, you know, as best I can to find out. I totally believe they were preoccupied with Iraq, and that's probably why 9/11 happened. And I've been searching for reasons why that would be. I came across a book called The Iron Triangle, and it's by Dan. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right, but Briody, and it talks about the Carlyle Group. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
This book is just scary when you start reading it.
But who is the guy who wrote it? I mean, I don't know who the guy is. There are a lot of allegations made about the Carlyle Group and so on. But maybe it would be useful to listen to Craig Unger talk about the relationship between the House of Bush and the House of Saud.
Well, he has lots of, you know, he has timelines of everything that happened and when it happened and who made. Actually, it says they made $237 million.
All right, so what's your allegation? What do you believe then, having read that book?
Well, I think that this group possibly influenced Bush into wanting to go into Iraq for specific reasons. And I think it's because if you read about this group, they invest in defense companies, health companies, telecommunication companies, and that's how this group is being so powerful. And MCI, I don't know if you ever heard this, they were awarded a contract, and nobody could figure out why. I read it
in Iraq with no bid. A no-bid contract, no competition in that contract. And here's MCI under a lot of scrutiny, and its principals under indictment.
And they were just awarded it. And in this Carlyle Group, who is a member, one of their vice presidents is a member listed here in the Carlyle Group. So see, I'm starting to make some connections here.
I don't know. I'm not gonna get too conspiratorial, but I do thank you for the call, Tony. 303-382-1150. Joanne calling from Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Joanne.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Can you help me with research on that High Alert 99? Who issued it and how long did it last?
Why don't you look at Dick Clark's book? I think it's detailed there. Mm-hmm.
Dick Clark. Can you remember what organization issued it?
Darlin, I'm not the reference desk here. What else is on your mind?
Well, I hadn't heard that.
Well, you should be listening. It was all over the 9/11. It was in the 9/11 testimony. Take a look at his book. It's been widely reported, and then we'll talk. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Enid Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Vista Ridge, a great new family community, now offers everything from condominiums to single family to custom homes, just 20 minutes north of downtown, on the web at vistaridge.net.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have a full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508, or online at ipfunding.com.
Next, I need something for my feet.
Yeah, I caught a whiff.
Fred to the front. We got a guy here with smelly feet. Bring the good stuff, the Dr. Scholl's.
Thanks a lot.
Whoa, you must be the smelly feet guy. Here.
Dr. Scholl's deodorant foot powder?
Oh, yeah, it works immediately and lasts all day.
What about that gold?
Look, I've been in your shoes. Well, thankfully not your shoes. Dr. Scholl's is better. It has more odor-destroying power than that Gold Bond foot powder.
I'll take it.
He's taking the Dr. Scholl's, folks.
Dr. Scholl's foot powder. Get the odor out now.
Have you always wanted to make a difference? Do you want to touch lives in communities all across the country? You will make a difference in AmeriCorps National Civilian Community Corps. NCCC is a 10-month national service program for 18 to 24-year-olds. NCCC members work on projects from tutoring kids to rebuilding trails to disaster relief. Along with a life-changing experience, members receive room and board, money for college, and the chance to travel. For information, call 1-800-942-2677 or visit AmeriCorps.org/NCCC.
Of your talk radio selections in Denver, we want to make you some promises today. We won't be reading you the Denver Post newspaper every day like they do on one station. We figure you can read for yourself. Or that other station with Dr. Laura. She's annoying. And why choose a station with all syndicated talk shows? Here's what you get when you try to dial in with your opinion.
We're sorry. Please check the number.
At AM 1150 KNRC. When you call in, we'll let you have your say.
It's really a 24/7 station.
That's what hearing both sides talk is all about. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150, KNRC.
1:56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock in the next hour. We'll find out about the secret relationship between the two most powerful dynasties in the world. Let's go right to the phone. So Cindy calling from Erie. Hi, Cindy. You're live with Enid.
Hi.
Are you a first-time caller?
I am, but you might want to hold it.
You got it anyway.
I was a traveler overseas in the summer of 2001.
Uh-huh.
And I received a direct State Department issued warning that as a U.S. citizen, I was at risk for a terrorist attack, including hijackings. And so the
Where did you hear that alert?
I received it in the mail from the State Department.
Okay.
All overseas travelers were warned.
But I think the rest of us were not warned, and the question is, were the airlines put on high alert, and we have no information that that was the case? Were the border put on high alert?
Of course they were. All the travelers who bought a ticket were warned. The FAA had to know.
Mm-hmm.
So all your arguments are just invalid. I would like to know.
Cindy, they're not invalid because
Let's
look at these arguments, because here's what the Clinton administration did when they had specific information. They had a lot of information. It wasn't, you know, here's the time, here's the place. They put everybody on high alert. They had principal meetings. Dick Clark reports this, and he is so testified to the 9/11 commission. And as a result, a lot of what was going to have happened was averted. And we don't see anything like that going on with George W. Bush. In the 33 meetings they had, they don't even discuss terrorism. There aren't meetings. He continues his vacation. So how can you say it was the same thing? It wasn't.
I received a State Department warning.
You did? Well, lucky you, but the rest of us didn't know anything.
Well, did you travel overseas?
Not in 2001, I didn't, but
okay.
That's only one thing. Assuming that you're correct in that, that's only one thing.
I am correct because I received the letter.
All right, but that's only one thing. We didn't have meetings where the FBI and the CIA were told to go shake the trees. We didn't have principals meetings as the Clinton administration did. You're talking about an alert that you got. Good for you. Should the president have continued to go golfing on his vacation? Shouldn't he have gone back to Washington?
I want to ask you a question.
No, I'm asking you. Should he have continued to go golfing, or should he have gone back to Washington, cut his vacation short?
I traveled overseas. I received the warning, and I went ahead.
I'm asking you, Cindy, I know you told us 10 times that you traveled overseas, and here's my question to you. Should the president, with those high alerts that you got in the mail and he got in his daily briefing, should he have gone back to Washington, or should he have continued his vacation?
He should have called Al Gore and asked why. Why do you keep cutting me off?
I'm not doing that. That's on your end, darling. It's not on ours.
He should have called Al Gore and asked him why Al Gore's air safety recommendations that were...
Now, I'm asking you a question, and you're going to give me a smart-ass reply, because you don't want to answer the question that has really an obvious answer. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. One more hour of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. In the next hour, in the 2 o'clock hour following the news, we're going to be joined by Craig Unger. The book is number 8 on the New York Times bestseller list. Title, House of Bush, House of Saud, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. You can always ask questions of our guests, by the way, 303-382-1150. You can always be heard, however dopey your argument may be. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Williams. It's a shaky ceasefire in the Iraqi city of Fallujah, but it's working well enough to let civilians get relief supplies. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett says if the rebels start shooting again, U.S. troops will hit back hard.
The Marines are ready, on order, to continue the operations to complete the destruction of enemy forces in Fallujah.
70 U.S. troops have been killed since the upsurge in violence began earlier this month. More than 30 people from a dozen nations, including at least one American, have been kidnapped in recent days by rebels in Iraq. Unconfirmed reports today says 7 Chinese civilians have been set free. The 9/11 panel will hear testimony tomorrow and Wednesday from past and present FBI officials. Former FBI Director Louis Free writes in today's Wall Street Journal, his agency wasn't given enough funding to fight Al-Qaeda. He'll be among those testifying. I'm Brian Williams, NBC News Radio.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Ford Quality Check certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous 115-point inspection. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain, limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 2004. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
The Chicago Underground Daily calls it an amazing cinematic wonder, spellbinding.
My daughter, I'm not sure if I can make it.
Father, you must remain strong, for I bring good news.
Oh, you bring good news?
Yes, I just save a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 41 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Fire investigators are on the scene of an early morning blaze that destroyed a Denver business. I'll have that story in a moment, but first let's check the roads. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Traffic around Coors Field just about back to normal now. Good thing Rockies are about to start. Nobody wants to be late for that first pitch. Freeway traffic moving along in good shape. A couple of problems off the freeways. One at 6th and Peoria. One at Parker Road and Quincy. Both of those are minor accidents. At Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, down describes the payment, not how you feel. See for yourself how uplifting house hunting can be. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, investigators are spending the day combing through a burned building that used to house a Denver business. Lieutenant Phil Champagne says firefighters responded to the blaze at Benson Communications at 17th and Williams after numerous 911 calls about 2 o'clock this morning.
When they arrived, the structure was fully involved, and it was impinging on two other properties adjacent, so we had two exposure issues. Denver firefighters entered the building, attempted to extinguish the blaze and do a primary search of the building for any occupants. Very fortunately for firefighters and all parties concerned, it was a business facility and it was unoccupied at the time of the fire.
Not long after entering the building, firefighters had to make a hasty exit because Champagne says the floors were getting spongy. Eventually, they were able to get back in. They put the blaze out and kept it from spreading to a pair of adjacent buildings. Nobody hurt in that fire this morning. This report brought to you by TV Guide. The Aurora City Council will most likely decide on summer watering restrictions tonight. Aurora's reservoir system is still below normal and will probably hit a low of 40% later this month before it starts to refill gradually as the spring runoff continues. The Denver Water Board is meeting Wednesday and is expected to set watering restrictions as well. In all likelihood, restrictions will probably start on May 1st. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office has arrested 40-year-old Everett Horton in connection with the shooting death of Lisa Clark at a mobile home park near Golden a week ago yesterday. Deputies got a tip that Horton was hiding out at the Holiday Inn Express at Wadsworth and Hampton. When they got there early this morning, they spotted his vehicle leaving the parking lot.
While they were at the hotel, they saw a vehicle that matched the description that was part of the information that was given to them, and that vehicle started leaving the parking lot, so the officers made a traffic stop on that vehicle.
Jeffco Sheriff spokesman Jim Shires, who says the deputies also took Lisa Clark's 20-year-old cousin, Tanya Lober, into custody. They say she had methamphetamines in her possession. Shires says if it's determined that she aided Horton's escape, she could be charged with harboring a fugitive, along with any drug charges she faces. Horton will be in court tomorrow morning for his advisement hearing. He faces charges of manslaughter, assault, and menacing. In sports, Jason Jennings set to throw out the first pitch as the Rockies open their home season in just seconds. Rocks are hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks in a three-game series that extends through Thursday. The D-backs beat the Rocks 2 of 3 games last week in Arizona. Colorado Avalanche are in Dallas tonight to play the Stars in Game 3 of the best-of-7 series in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Colorado has a 2-games-to-none lead going into tonight's game. Denver Nuggets finished their home season tonight against the Sacramento Kings. It's also next to the last regular season game for Denver. Nuggets are tied with the Utah Jazz for the 8th and final playoff spot in the West. There's a lot of great TV out there. TV Guide Channel helps you find it. Watch TV Guide Channel to find out what's new, what's best, and what's next on TV. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
The market goes up and the market goes down. The name in business is CNBC, and it's exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ah, nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Is your patio furniture up to the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio, inviting you to visit any of Lair's 3 beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality wrought iron patio furniture from O.W. Lee. For 3 generations, the Lee family has been handcrafting fine wrought iron furniture that is not only beautiful, but built to last a lifetime. Hand-forged by skilled craftsmen with incredible attention to detail and design, O.W. Lee is quite simply the finest wrought iron furniture on the market. market today. Family owned and operated since 1954, Laird's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in wrought iron furniture. Plus, we have the best selection of quality gas barbecue grills in the state. At Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton, there's a Laird's near you. For premium wrought iron furniture from O.W. Lee, it's Laird Fireplace and Patio.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The sunshine, an awfully nice thing to see, but temperatures still a bit on the chilly side. We'll only top out around 48 for our high, and normally we'd be up around 60. Clear skies tonight with a low of 34. We'll do better on the temperature front tomorrow. Sunshine, a high of 62. A chance of thunderstorms on Wednesday, a high of 68. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 43 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock, and manning the board today, Darren Gabbert. My guest in this hour is Craig Unger. He has written a book. It looks like it's number 8 on the New York Times bestseller list, House of Bush, House of Saud. It's reviewed in the Daily New York Times today. Subtitle, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. Craig Unger, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Tell me about this book and why you undertook to write it. I assume you did it. Was 9/11 the spur for you?
Absolutely. Immediately after 9/11, I believe almost everyone in the country thought of it as coming almost entirely out of the blue. I had a background where I had covered scandals like Iran-Contra and Iraqgate, and I was rather familiar with the Bush family, both senior and junior, and with the Saudis. And I realized that the two families had a relationship going back 30 years. So I wanted to tell the roots of what happened in terms of the relationship of the two most powerful families in the world, the Bushes, who've of course had two presidents, and the Royal House of Saud, the ruling family of Saudi Arabia that is by far the richest family in the history of the world, with virtually with about a quarter of the oil in the world.
What did you find out when you started to do the research? Were you shocked, or did you have a fairly good idea of what you were going to uncover?
Well, a little of both. I mean, I think the most extraordinary thing that I began to realize is that never before in the history of the United States has a president, much less two presidents from the same family, had such a close relationship with another foreign power as the Bushes have had with the Saudis. And this is, it's not as if they're just another, say, a Western democracy. They're not a democracy at all. They are an Islamic theocracy, and in many ways they played a key role in the rise of terrorism. So this to me created a rather special issue. That is, I think a fundamental piece of logic has been missing from the American conversation.
Specifically what?
How can we fight a serious war? How can President Bush fight a serious war on terror when he's essentially been so close to the nation that has fostered a breeding ground for terrorism? I found over $1.4 billion in investments and contracts have gone from the Saudis, the Royal House of Saud, the royal family there, to companies in which the Bushes and their allies have had an important relationship. I'm not suggesting any conspiracy. I want to be very, very clear about that. What I'm saying is this is business, big business, and it's a close personal relationship. These are close business relationships. They are like business associates, clients, customers. And when it comes right down to it, I believe the president has not asked the tough questions about the Saudi role in terror. And in fact, he's given them extraordinary favors at a time when national security has to be preeminent.
My guest is Craig Unger. His new book, House of Bush, House of Saud, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. Here is what I know and see how it fits with what you have discovered. We have heard, it's been reported, that the House of Saud has come to the aid of the United States on more than one occasion, that they're so heavily invested in this country that if we suddenly went off after them, it would cause some kind of a financial collapse. That when sometimes when administrations get into money problems and need the shortfall covered in sophisticated ways, they turn to the Saudis. The other thing that I had seen reported is that post 9/11, we were still fast-tracking the visa applications of Saudis, even though 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. And we do know that the intelligence community in Saudi Arabia was supportive of bin Laden and also, in a sense, trying to pay off any challenge to the authority of the royal family, any challenge to the royal family by, you know, making huge payments to these Islamic anti-American clerics.
Right. Well, there was the State Department did initiate a program called Visa Express. It almost sounds like a credit card program, but it was to eliminate any inconvenience for Saudis who wanted to come to the United States so that they didn't even have to get a visa, didn't have to go to the consulate themselves. They could just have a friend run down to the office and do it for them. And as it happens, three terrorists, three of the 9/11 hijackers took advantage of this program. And you're right in saying that it was actually continued even after 9/11 for a month or two. It was not stopped immediately. So we've been very, very lax in monitoring the role of the Saudis, and I think that's been a huge problem.
And didn't Faisal bin, what's his name, Turkle, the intelligence chief, continue to make payments to Osama bin Laden, who was, after all, somebody that we supported?
Well, there's considerable question about how long that relationship may have gone on. There was a recent revelation in the Chicago Tribune trying Prince Turkey. I mean, at a certain point, a lot of people thought these ties were just merely the work of conspiracy mongers. But most recently, the Chicago Tribune revealed that there was a company in Hamburg, Germany, through which Prince Turkey seemed to be tied to the terrorists right up to 9/11.
Has the Bush administration done very much about helping to stem, in the wake of 9/11 and the years since, has the Bush administration done very much to stem the flow of monies to support fundamentalist Islam that sometimes gets funneled into terrorist organizations? I mean, what has the Bush administration done? Have they dragged their feet on it?
Well, I believe they have. I mean, it's also important to understand the government doesn't always function with one hand knowing what the other is doing. And if you look at the Treasury Department, in fact, they've been fairly rigorous in trying, and I'm emphasizing trying, to crack down on the Saudi role in terrorism. But the White House itself, I believe, has been very, very lax. And, for example, Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill said that he was getting absolutely no cooperation from the Saudis, yet President Bush has always said that the Saudi cooperation has been superb. I think the most revealing thing that I discuss in my book, of course, happened just 2 days afterwards, and this was at a time when American skies were basically shut down. If you recall, right after 9/11, American airspace was closed. President Clinton was not allowed to fly. Al Gore was not allowed to fly. I found a fellow who was expecting a heart transplant, a man in Seattle, Washington, and they were flying in the replacement organ from Anchorage, and the plane was actually forced down short of its destination by American military aircraft. That is how closed down American airspace was. Yet the Saudis were allowed to fly. And this required...
The bin Laden family, they loaded them up on a plane.
Right. Well, and I found a total of 8 planes picking up 140 Saudis, 24 members of the bin Laden family, and even a Saudi prince who allegedly had ties to Al-Qaeda and advanced knowledge of 9/11. Yet these people were allowed to leave without being interrogated, and President Bush, the White House at least, gave the go-ahead, presumably President Bush. He's supposed to be in charge of it.
So he's the one, you think, who gave the go-ahead?
Well, you, what I do know,
it seemed that Cheney was in charge right at 9/11, and Bush was running around from bunker to bunker, not in charge of very much besides running from bunker to bunker.
Well, these are unanswered questions as far as I'm concerned. We do know, I did interview Richard Clark for my book, and he also testified before the 9/11 Commission, and he said that he was party to discussions at which this was discussed, and he said that, well, the Saudis could go if they've been vetted by the FBI. But when I talked to FBI people who were part of the evacuation process, they said, well, they identified people, they didn't really interrogate them. So this is a very an extraordinary issue, and I think it may well come up before the 9/11 Commission this week.
My guest is Craig Unger. His new book, House of Bush, House of Saud, number 8 on the New York Times bestseller list, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. You might have questions. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Craig, I've read in some reputable and sometimes some not-so-reputable publications that there were various members of the Bin Laden family who just left everything that they, their apartments in New York and so on, days before 9/11, they just fled. Is there any evidence that you could find that people knew in advance?
Actually, I do not have anything to back that up. In fact, I'm aware of at least 24 of them who were still here, so that contradicts it somewhat. But there may be others I'm not aware of. I just have no specific knowledge about that.
What else did you find out that you found really shocking when you started to look at the relationship between the House of Bush and the House of Saud? Kevin Phillips, who is former Republican strategist who has written about the Bush dynasty, says that he thinks the pot of oil, that it could have been an intelligence front for the CIA, a front company.
Right.
Did you come upon anything that would indicate that? And so are you saying that the House of Saud has personally enriched the Bush family?
Well, I go back to 1974, and I start really with the story of two young Saudi billionaires who are coming to Texas just at the point of, this is the OPEC oil embargo, when American gas lines are long, the price of oil is going through the roof, and Saudi Arabia is going from being sort of a desert backwater, a tribal backwater, becoming one of the richest countries in the world. And they're starting to accumulate enormous amount of money and invest $800 billion in the United States equities. What interested me most about all this was when the investments went not into the big blue chip companies that are the brand names everybody knows, but when they started going to small companies that had political links. So I focus on this fellow, Khalid bin Mahfouz, who's the most powerful banker in Saudi Arabia, and another fellow named Salman bin Laden, who was the older brother of Osama bin Laden and head of the Saudi bin Laden Company, which is a multi-billion-dollar construction firm. It's important to remember that bin Ladens are an enormously wealthy family. Both of these men were very, very close to the House of Saud, to the royal family, and they came in and started making investments. And it's really an extraordinary story because you see them start to insinuate themselves in these politically connected companies, especially the Bushes. And it's not so much that the Bushes did make a fortune off these, though. In fact, George W. Bush's was rescued at Harkin Energy. He was on the board of directors of Harkin Energy. It's an interesting story. It was a struggling oil company on the verge of bankruptcy, and out of the blue, the Saudis come from around the world and bail it out. And you have to wonder why, when they've got all the oil in the world, why would they come to Texas? And the answer, I believe, is that on the board of directors was George W. Bush, whose father was then president of the United States, and it was a way of winning political influence.
And they bailed W out of Harkin, and to this day, the details are murky, and W has been accused of insider trading because he knew it was a failing company. He got his money before it collapsed publicly.
Right.
What else? Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, also, just at that time, by the way, one of the links to one of these Arab consortiums granted Harkin unexpectedly all the offshore drilling rights to the Emirate of Bahrain. And suddenly, Harkin, which had never drilled offshore before and never drilled outside of the United States, it was a tiny oil company, yet it beat out giant companies like Amoco, and the question was why. And again, the answer may well be political influence. So you saw that kind of thing going on again and again and again. This, in many ways, was the basis of George W. Bush's fortune. He got just $600,000 or $800,000 out of Harkin Energy, but then he put it into the Texas Rangers, and that's how he became a fairly wealthy man.
My guest is Craig Unger. The book is House of Bush, House of Saud, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. 303-382-1150 if you have questions of Craig Unger. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the next generation of talk radio.
Talk with us.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, Mary, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence. I'm switching my internet access to ProLink.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't tell a golf ball from a disco ball.
Well, didn't you say ProLink?
Yeah, but ProLink isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLink.
They're an ISP. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the big guys, but without the poor service and annoying advertisements.
Is their connection fast?
Sure. Their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access.
Well, that settles it. I'm switching to ProLinks. How do I get connected?
Call them at 303-972-3218, and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Mention this ad and get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free. That number again is 303-972-3218. You'll be glad you did.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included. Not available in all areas.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Conder. Jim will host a 2-hour romp in the field of great food and drink. Interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Conder, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum. Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150 KNRC.
AM 1150 KNRC and Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits would like to send you and a guest to the Vail Film Festival April 1st through 4th. You'll enjoy the festival's opening night, VIP party mid-mountain at Eagle's Nest, the premiere of Before Sunset with Ethan Hawke, three-day adult lift tickets, and much more, along with lodging at the Inn at Riverwalk in Edwards for 3 nights. All you have to do is register to win at Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits located on the corner of 12th and Broadway, or call 303-893-8437 for more information.
Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett, hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. An update on Wall Street, although a little bit quiet to start this week off with. The Dow has gained nearly 74 points at this hour, now at 10,515, while the NASDAQ is up 12 points at 2,065. That's how it closed for this Monday. With earnings season moving into high gear, two big newspaper publishers reported mixed results today. Gannett, which publishes USA Today, among other papers, saw a 10% increase in first quarter profits, while the New York Times Company, which also puts out the Boston Globe, reported a 15% decline in first quarter earnings, but still beat Wall Street expectations. Gasoline futures hit an all-time high today as pump prices continue to soar. One survey finds the national average for self-serve unleaded gasoline now stands at nearly $1.80 a gallon. Another survey puts it above $1.80. Just some happy news there. The Dow, though, closed up 73 points, with the NASDAQ up 12 at 2,065. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Why is buying a home so complicated? Where do I find an inspector? How do they get the house key out of that box hanging on the doorknob? I mean, do you need a key to get the key?
Coldwell Banker received the J.D. Power & Associates Award for the highest overall satisfaction for first-time homebuyers among national full-service real estate firms. So let us help you. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by NRT Incorporated. For J.D. Power & Associates Award information, visit jdpower.com.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:26 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me, Craig Unger, author of Houses of Bush, House of Saud, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. If you have questions, 303-382-1150. Craig, talk to me about, you mentioned that you had interviewed Richard Clark. What came out of that interview?
Well, he in my book, he emerges very much as sort of a thwarted hero, a hero in the sense that I believe he understood Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, and that they'd created a new kind of transnational terrorism that was very different from the state-sponsored terrorism, say, that you'd found in Libya or wherever. Thwarted because during the Clinton administration, the Monica Lewinsky scandal had robbed the administration of any political capital necessary to truly respond, and thwarted again in the Bush years because essentially he was demoted and not listened to. And I think one of the great problems that that led up to 9/11 was that Richard Clark's warnings were put on the back burner. We see quite recently this stuff about the memos, the August 6th memo that went to President Bush that was titled Bin Laden Determined to Attack in the United States, that was essentially ignored. And finally, in the end, Richard Clark's recommendations were really put on the back burner, and 9/11 did happen.
But the interesting thing was, the moment 9/11 happened, Condoleezza Rice deputized Richard Clark to be in charge of everything. He put his general's hat on, and he went to work.
Absolutely, but it was a little too little too late. He had had much more of a free-ranging position under President Clinton, and his memos had gone. He had direct access to the president during the Clinton administration. He did not have that during the Bush administration, and as a result, I think a lot of his warnings went unheeded.
My guest is Craig Unger. Let's go to the phones and to Bob in Arvada. Hi, Bob. You're live with Enid and Craig Unger on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, Enid and Craig, thanks for taking my call. My question to Craig is whether or not he thinks that the future of U.S.-Saudi relations will change in light of some of the needs to move some of our bases to other countries, and will Bush's or Cheney's positions in lieu of being leaders or not being elected again change our ability to have more credibility with the Muslim faith, because they will say that we pulled out of Saudi Arabia.
In other words, are you asking what the Bush's and Saudi relationship is going to be in the future?
Yeah, pretty much. I just want to know, does he think that regardless of whether Bush gets reelected or not, are we going to start pulling out of Saudi Arabia, or are we going to see any change in our relationship with them?
Bob, take the answer on the air, and I thank you for the question.
Right. Well, in fact, we already have removed troops from Saudi Arabia. I think in many ways, even though the Bushes were very, very close to the Saudis for many years, the relationship is worse than ever, and there are two or three reasons for that. One is that we really stopped playing a role in the Middle East peace process, and that sort of fell off the radar screen when Bush came in, and the Saudis were very, very angry at Bush and almost terminated relationships even before 9/11. The other thing is the war in Iraq. The Saudis are not happy about that. Domestically, let's not forget, most of their population is much closer to Osama bin Laden than they are to the United States. And they were, in many ways, we fulfilled bin Laden's prophecy by invading Iraq, so that they see us as Christian and Jewish infidels who are now invading an oil-rich Arab nation. And the Saudi royal house has said does not want to be seen as being too close to us.
Well, how will they respond if we do finally bring in Osama bin Laden?
Well,
it sounds like they're really ambivalent about it because they have supported him. The English papers reported that even after 9/11, some of the people near the royal family, if not already members of the royal family, continue to make huge payouts to Osama bin Laden.
Right. I think it's likely that bin Laden will be seen as a great martyr if he is brought in, and the Saudis again. It's quite interesting. There's been a lot of rumors lately that they don't want to support the Bushes. And the most interesting development, of course, recently has been that they've come out against, they want to cut back on oil production, which will raise the price of oil even further.
Right before an election.
Exactly.
What about the 2000 election? What information did you find to do with the Saudis and Bush in the 2000 election?
Well, one of the most interesting things I found out is that there was a real secret campaign strategy on the part of the Bush campaign to win the Muslim American vote. Now, I should say, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. Candidates go after all sorts of ethnic blocs and that sort of normal campaigning. But it was quite unusual in this case. Excuse me. Because in the past, no candidate had gone after the Muslim vote quite so explicitly. And what was one of the most extraordinary things that happened was Bush ended up campaigning in Florida, in Tampa, Florida, with a man named Sammy Al-Aryan. And it turns out he later turned out to be a member of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, allegedly a member of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, who is now under indictment for having participated in fundraising for terrorists to finance suicide bombings in Israel. So it will be very interesting to see if this photo comes back to haunt President Bush. I did publish it in my book, House of Bush, House of Saud. You can see Sammy Al-Aryan and George and Laura Bush all campaigning together in Florida. Al-Aryan, incidentally, was later invited to the White House. So it's quite extraordinary that Bush would allow himself to be so close to people who appear to be, who may well be terrorists.
Bush has been reported, or at least Prince Bandar, who has a huge compound up in Aspen here, has called himself in a long New Yorker profile, he referred to himself as Bandar Bush, that he's an honorary member of the Bush family. But he was remarkably candid in this profile. And I'm wondering if that's still the case. Is he still an honorary member of the Bush family? Is there more strain in that relationship? And what are the implications of that relationship?
Well, it's an extraordinary relationship, and I think it's fair to say that he has probably been closer to at least one in two and possibly two presidents of the United States through this relationship than any foreign leader in history. He would go on hunting trips with Bush Sr. He would drop by Kennebunkport, Maine, in Crawford, Texas, the White House itself. If you look at the photos of Prince Bandar with either of the Bushes, there's one of him with the younger President Bush in Crawford, Texas, in which he's sprawling over an armchair. And you can just see this man is so relaxed. This is not a man who's in awe of being with the President of the United States. It is a guy who's visiting his good friend's son. And he is that kind of relaxing relationship that he's so much access. It's a relationship filled with extraordinary contradictions because we've now had several revelations in which Bandar and his wife apparently inadvertently funded the terrorists. Now, Newsweek revealed this first over a year ago. There was another story just last week that the Saudi embassy, of which Bandar is in charge, that their accounts have sent hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially to two terrorist groups. And yet, when Prince Bandar dropped by the White House just a few months ago, President Bush said, come on up, let's have dinner. So the Bush family called up his family to console him about these revelations in Newsweek. When you would think, if their real concern is national security, they would want to investigate them.
Well, the question that I always had is, you know, here we are, 15 of 19 hijackers were Saudis, and we're at war against Iraq. Nothing ever made any sense. And what's going to happen in the future? What are they going to do, and how are they going to walk that line between their friendship with this family that has enriched both sides, and what is good for the country?
Right. Well, it seems like things are starting to unravel now, really starting with Richard Clark's testimony. It seems to have been a turning point. It was really quite remarkable. If you go back a year ago when I was doing this, there was a period at which 70% of Americans believed Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11. I'll bet that has dropped considerably now. I haven't seen a recent poll. But clearly, what about those weapons of mass destruction? I think by now it's pretty clear that Iraq didn't have them and that the Bush administration used 9/11 as an excuse to attack Iraq. Richard Clark has finally come forward with rather serious charges that the Iraqi war has left us in worse shape in terms of the war on terrorism, and it's not addressed the key issue at all. It's created more terrorists.
I was on Air America last night, and we only have a few seconds left, and the host, Laura Flanders, said that you'd been a guest on her show and that you had complained that you were having a hard time getting any kind of media coverage for the book. Is that true? Do I have that right?
Well, I'm getting a lot of local radio, so I'm not complaining about that. It's just very interesting that, to me, this Saudi evacuation is a major, major issue that has not been addressed. And it's very interesting. It seems that the mainstream media has been very reluctant to take on any issues until it appears in an official forum. And I think the Richard Clark thing is a case in point. Richard Clark's testimony was a blockbuster, and yet, if you look at it carefully, almost all that information was available elsewhere. A lot of it is in my book, which came out just before his testimony. This should not be seen as revelations, yet that story is finally getting out in the mainstream media, but only after it reaches an official level.
What about, final question, because I just remembered it. What about, there were a bunch of princes, and I've forgotten now the whole story, but then they were linked somehow to terrorism, and then they all died mysteriously. One of them owned horses in Kentucky. What was that story?
Right. Well, to give credit where it's due, much of this was initially reported by Gerald Posner in his book, Why America
That's
Slept.
Right. That's right. We've had him on. That's where
right.
I heard that story.
Well, and it is related to mine very much because, as I mentioned earlier, I was able to get the passenger list for four of these planes, and you can view them on my website at houseofbush.com. And if you look at them, you will see that the very first passenger is Prince Ahmed bin Salman on the very first flight. Prince Ahmed bin Salman, and you can see that on my website.
And he's a passenger on which flight?
This is the flight from Lexington to Kentucky to London, England. And he is part of the Saudi evacuation. And the story you're referring to is that in March 2002, a fairly high-level al-Qaeda operative named Abu Zubaydah was captured in Pakistan, and he was, this is according to Posner's book.
Oh, and he had the numbers of all these sheikhs. And, and then when American officials interrogated him, he produced these numbers, and in fact, these were numbers of various sheikhs in the royal family.
Sets of phone numbers was for Prince Ahmed bin Salman, who was spirited out of the country on these flights. So my story and Gerald Posner sort of mesh in this regard, and you realize that if Zubaydah's story is correct, then the Bush administration gave clearance to allow someone to leave immediately, gave him special permission when the rest of the people in the United States were not allowed to fly, but they allowed someone who had advanced knowledge of 9/11, who was a go-between between al-Qaeda and the royal family, to leave without even bothering to have a serious interrogation.
Craig Unger, thank you so much for joining us today. The book is called House of Bush, House of Saud, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:40, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 46 degrees. A manslaughter suspect has been arrested in Jefferson County. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
very, very quiet drive around town right now. No accidents or stalls on the freeways. A reminder that some T-Rex construction will close the flyover ramp from southbound I-25 to northbound I-225 at about 11 o'clock tonight. The crews plan to reopen that stretch of highway at 5:30 tomorrow morning. Right now, Pep Boys Express brand name oil change is just $16.88. Choose Castrol, Pennzoil, Valvoline, Quaker State, or others. Job's done in a half an hour, or it's free. See the store for details, Pep Boys, parts service, and so much more. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
A man wanted in connection with the shooting death of a woman a week ago yesterday has been arrested by Jeffco Sheriff's deputies. 40-year-old Everett Horton was taken into custody early this morning. Police say he was arguing with someone else when he shot Lisa Clark at a mobile home park near Golden. This report brought to you by Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. The building housing Benson Communications at 17th and Williams caught fire early this morning. Firefighters were able to keep the blaze from spreading to a couple of adjacent buildings. Investigators say it may take a couple of days before they figure out the cause of the pre-dawn fire. Watering restrictions are most likely on the way for Aurora. The Aurora City Council will meet tonight to decide on what restrictions to implement. Aurora's reservoirs are expected to hit a low of 40% later this month before they start to fill with the spring runoff. At Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, down describes the payment, not how you feel. See for yourself how uplifting house hunting can be. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:42.
What hit the fan while you were hitting the sack?
The worst is yet to come.
Find out mornings with Dick Kelsey during the Jimmy Lakey Show, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live, and you know we shop every chance we get.
Yeah, but in your stiletto heels, you keep slowing me down. That's why we shop at Aspen Grove. You can park directly in front of your favorite stores and walk right in.
No more walking long distances back and forth from the stores carrying heavy shopping bags, something we've been known to do.
Or driving through the parking lot praying for a spot. Spend more time shopping at Aspen Grove in Littleton, a beautiful open-air shopping center with some of the best national specialty shops, many that are exclusive to Southeast Metro Denver, such as Gap Body and Coldwater Creek with its casual chic clothing.
Don't forget Pottery Barn and White House Black Market, the only one in Colorado.
And the great Aspen Grove restaurants. I love the buffalo at Ted's Montana Grill.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays, 10 to 9, and Sundays, 11 to 6. 303-794-0640. That's 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Sunshine, we've got it through the afternoon, but temperatures will still be pretty well below normal. That will be changing for us tomorrow. As we move through the afternoon, we should top out around 48 for the high. Clear skies tonight with a low of 34. Sunny again tomorrow, a high of 62. 68 on Wednesday with a chance of thunderstorms. From the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 46 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:44. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Velcaro.com.
AM 1150 KNRC and Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits would like to send you and a guest to the Vail Film Festival April 1st through 4th. You'll enjoy the festival's opening night, VIP party Mid-Mountain at Eagle's Nest, the premiere of Before Sunset with Ethan Hawke, three-day adult lift tickets, and much more, along with lodging at the Inn at Riverwalk in Edwards for three nights. All you have to do is register to win at Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, located on the corner of 12th and Broadway, or call 303-893-8437 for more information.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Ezzy Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:46 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. A couple of things. First of all, I've gotten a lot of emails. And secondly, let me just tell you what we've got cooking over here. Jimmy tomorrow morning is going to be at the grand opening of Krispy Kreme at Wadworth in Littleton. And we're also beginning to be carrying the President's News Conference live tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. And Joe wants to know, what are you going to watch, the President's News Conference or American Idol? The White House scheduling of President Bush's formal press conference tomorrow night has thrown Fox TV and its top-rated American Idol into chaos. This is Drudge reporting this. Fox execs on today, this afternoon, wrestled over whether to postpone this week's lucrative live Idol showdown. For the White House, the Bush 8:30 press conference is set to run approximately 45 minutes, leaving a non-interrupted Idle hour a scheduling impossibility during Fox's 8 to 10 p.m. primetime block. So, I don't know. Idle commands the largest audience in TV, with viewership levels passing 23 million in recent weeks. What do you think is going to happen? Would you rather watch American Idol, or you want to watch the press conference? And why is he having the press conference now? Do we know what it's going to be about? Anyway, we're going to carry it live for your amusement. And, surprise, surprise, don't fall over, this just in, Republican Governor Bill Owens, what is the latest marital rumor du jour, extramarital rumor du jour, Owens, today withdrew his endorsement of conservative former U.S. Representative Bob Schaefer in Colorado's wild U.S. Senate race, and threw his support, this is the Denver Post reporting, threw his support behind Peter Coors, the deep-pocketed political novice who runs the Coors beer empire. Are you surprised about that? Also, and I think this will have an impact, even though the kind that kind of sneaks up on you, Dateline NBC is going to focus on Denver cops. Did you see this? It was just a tiny item in the Rocky. Denver is one of several cities that will be the focus of Friday's Dateline NBC report. And now, I think, was it last Friday's or is it next Friday's? Ooh, it was last. Did you see some of it, Joe? What'd they do with it? I've got that confused. I thought it was next Friday. Racial profiling Denver cops. Okay. Was it very tough on the Denver cops? I hope it was tough. I think Denver got mentioned in passing. Okay. So that's been going on. Also, a whole series, if you're just tuning in, we've been talking a lot about President Bush and the unraveling of President Bush. I was on Air America last night as a guest, and they asked us what we were going to be talking about this week, and I said I was going to get a big jug of popcorn and pull up my chair really close because more and more is going to come unraveled. I think John Ashcroft is scheduled to testify before the 9/11 Commission this week. Also, the New York Times reporting that researchers say that Mormons have continued to baptize Jewish Holocaust victims into the Mormon faith posthumously, despite having promised to discontinue the practice. I can't believe that you can be baptized. You're dead. How can you be baptized into anything? And I think it's really terrifically arrogant of the Mormons to do this. I'm sorry. I know you're sort of Mormon, Joe, but I really think this is horrible. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I can't believe that they're doing it. They promised not to do it. How can you baptize someone who's not even alive? But apparently that's part of the Mormon belief system, that you can baptize them after they are among the dearly departed. I mean, shouldn't they have a voice in this? Shouldn't you have a little bit of consent as to what religion you're going to be? 303-382-1150, and then I'm getting all these emails from some of you. Here is Jean-Michel has emailed, as much as I hate to even look at W, I'm going to watch him so I'll know if I have to run and hide. Okay, that's tomorrow. Here's from Andrew saying, Enid, hindsight's always 20/20. I'm sure it's easier to say what you would do now since we know what the outcome is. The difficult thing is in deciding what to do at the current moment. In addition, I do think it's wrong that Bush finished his golf game after learning of this of the daily briefing, but I think he could probably be criticized even if he finished eating his lunch. Again, hindsight is always 20/20. Andrew, you missed the point. And also... One of you called in to say that you were traveling to Europe at around the time of 9/11 and received a warning from the State Department saying that terrorism was in the works. This is from Jeffrey. Jeffrey said, I was in the UK in the weeks prior to 9/11 and was on the first United flight allowed back into the States that Friday from Heathrow. I held a ticket for that business trip for months prior. I received no message from the State Department. Your previous caller was making stuff up. Maybe she worked for state or for another government outfit. Regular U.S. citizens abroad were not warned. I was traveling with several other U.S. citizens, none of whom received a message. You have a great show. Keep it up. Okay, let's go to the phones. Kathy in Masonville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kathy.
Enid, I wonder if you've ever heard this rumor. I read this in a couple of places that Ashcroft was not taking commercial flights.
I heard that too. I've seen that.
And so I wonder if the 9/11 Commission will ask him that, because I'd like to know that once and for all.
I'd like to know that as well. How come he got the warning and nobody else did?
Exactly.
Well, maybe they're going to drape his answer in the same shroud that they put over Minnie Lou, the new Justice Department statue there that's always behind him.
He doesn't.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, Enid, bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
AM 1150 cannot be held liable if our diverse talk programming forces you to use excessive brain power. Always entertaining and never boring. AM 1150 KNRC.
At the John Elway Service Centers, the job is done right the first time at a competitive price. Plus, they have the right tires at the right price, all in stock now. John Elway Service Centers. They're the experts. Honest.
Being able to wake up every morning with Allison is kind of like having a sleepover with your best friend.
I love my husband. We have so much fun. We do everything together.
Imagine having the companionship of a best friend, the passion of true love, and a shared view of the most important things in life all in one person. That kind of relationship would be something special, wouldn't it? Well, at eHarmony.com, these are exactly the kinds of relationships that result when couples are matched based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It is beyond joy to be able to come home to someone who really loves you.
Being seen and loved by that one person in the world with whom you are meant to be. At eHarmony.com, we don't think that's too much to ask for.
I cannot imagine life without Allison.
That's why if you're looking for your soulmate, check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your $40 personality profile free. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
The following conversation is real. It took place on August 12, 2002, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber who was involved in an accident.
OnStar Emergency, this is Melanie. This is Melanie from OnStar. Can anybody in the vehicle hear me? I do have you located on U.S. Highway 78, and I'll contact emergency services.
When OnStar receives a signal your airbag deployed, an advisor will contact emergency services, even if there's no response.
Highway Patrol Communications. I'm calling from OnStar. I'm ready to report a vehicle accident with airbag deployment.
No matter what the situation, a live OnStar advisor is available to help 24 hours a day.
We've got somebody on board to it. Okay, thank you. Occupants of the vehicle, emergency services have been contacted, and they are en route to your location. I will remain on the line with you until...
Emergency services arrived, and everyone received the help they needed. Visit your dealer to learn more about OnStar. Or if you're a subscriber, renew your service at OnStar.com. OnStar. Always there, always ready.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Learn firsthand about another culture without leaving the country and establish a friendship that will last a lifetime. Pacific Intercultural Exchange has international students from more than 40 countries coming to Denver for homestay programs, and they need your help. PIE is looking for host families to share the American way of life. If you're interested in hosting a foreign teen or would like more information about the program, please call PIE at 1-800-828-9001. AM 1150 KNRC invites you to expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. Tickets are still available for our next featured speaker, Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes will be speaking on Monday, May 17th at Betcher Concert Hall at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. For information, visit knrcradio.com. The KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series is a program of Junior Achievement and is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
We've got our own Reagan Revolution every weeknight at 6 p.m. Hear Michael Reagan exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Let's go right to the phones and to Larry in Denver. Hi, Larry. You're live with Enid.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I two comments. I don't think it's any coincidence that the Bush's press conference is scheduled during American Idol, because this is an administration that's infamous for dropping bombs at, slow news times or when they think nobody will be looking. But my real point for calling was that I had heard that the original August 6th PDB was actually 11 pages, not the 1.25 pages or whatever was released last week.
I heard that last night when I was a guest on Air America. Somebody called in to say that on some of the blogs that was what was being reported, and that that what the president got was a digest. I don't know if that's true, though.
Oh, I don't know, but the source that the caller, I think I heard it on Air America as well, they were citing some German newspaper called Die Zeit or something, and it was translated, and they were basically, the story was about how, we messed up on 9/11 and after, and they were kind of logging all the events. And
all right, so what's your point? So if it was a longer briefing, then
well,
what?
Where's the rest of it? What are they trying to hide, I guess is my point.
Okay, we have to find out, though, if that's even the case. But I thank you for bringing it up, Larry. I'm getting a bunch of emails. This is from Sally. Sally says, here's your confirmation of Ashcroft and flying in 2001. So this is from CBS News. Let's see if I can bring it up. Oh, not coming up. Sally, here it comes. All right, we'll see if we can find the confirmation of Ashcroft flying high. This is from CBS News. Fishing rod in hand, Attorney General John Ashcroft left on a weekend trip to Missouri. This is the dateline of July 2001. Left on a weekend trip to Missouri aboard a chartered government jet, reports CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart. In response to inquiries from CBS News over why Ashcroft was traveling exclusively by leased jet aircraft instead of commercial airlines, the Justice Department cited what it called, quote, a threat assessment by the FBI, and said that Ashcroft had been advised to travel only by private jet for the remainder of his term. There was a threat assessment, and there are guidelines. He is acting under the guidelines. An FBI spokesman said neither the FBI nor the Justice Department, however, would identify what the threat was, when it was detected, or who made it. And this is the story that Sally just emailed me, and the dateline is July 26, 2001, from CBS News. My listeners are so smart, and they are so capable. We just bring something up, and I get great information back. So I thank all of you. I thank those of you who called, those of you who listened. Thanks. Let's do it again tomorrow. Thank you to Joe Anderson for producing the show. Thank you to Darren Gabbert for keeping us on the air and keeping us amused, too. Doug Kellett is up next. Let's have lunch tomorrow, noon to 3, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Enid Goldstein. Do something generous, will you? Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. Clean up any mess. I don't care if it's a tiny little mess or a big mess. I don't care if it's a physical mess or a relationship mess. Your life will be transformed after Easter. These are things we should think about.
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead.
It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio. I'm Evan Haining. Arab TV network Al Jazeera says 11 Russian employees of an energy company have been kidnapped in Iraq. More than 30 foreigners from at least 12 countries have been abducted by insurgents in recent days. Speaking at his Crawford, Texas ranch, President Bush said it was a tough week in Iraq because militants tried to take the law into their own hands.
A civil society, a peaceful society, can't grow with people who are willing to kill in order to stop progress. And our job is to provide security for the Iraqi people so that a transition can take place.
Mr. Bush will hold a rare formal news conference tomorrow night. It took just 10 seconds to scramble travel plans for West Coast air passengers today. A brief line failure knocked out all power to Los Angeles International Airport's control tower. Power has been mostly restored. Wall Street closed higher today with the Dow up 73 points. NASDAQ gained 12. The S&P was up 6. Evan Haining, NBC News Radio.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Ford Quality Check certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous 115-point inspection. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain, limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Then all buyers.